Boom, and we're live.
And hey, we're live.
Pull this sucker up there.
Yeah, a little right closer. A little closer.
Like a, yeah, right about there.
All right.
How are you, fella? What's
fantastic.
Going on?
How are you doing?
Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
You're remarkably normal.
Oh, thanks. I know, people are always struck at how normal I am. I'm like, just like, wow, really? I think my reputation.
You made it through the maze
I
of
guess
being
so.
A famous child.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a very unusual maze.
My life is unique to me. That's what I like to say. You know, yeah, and I'm almost like a peerless person, like to
yeah.
a certain extent. There's not too many people I can look left and right and... We have similar experiences.
You know? Yeah. Is there anybody that you ever contacted, like Jodie Foster or someone who's made it through and seems pretty put together?
Not really.
No,
like, no, not really. I mean, it's kind of a weird cold call, you know, because
right.
like, hey, Jodie Foster.
But I would think that's such a small clan of people. Like if a comic called me that I knew, you know, mm-hmm. and they wanted to talk to me. I would talk to them because it's such a small clan of people.
I mean, we do have our weekly therapy sessions. Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah. Mm. You say, yeah, me, Elijah
group.
Wood, you
right.
know, yeah. Jodie Foster, you know, yeah. Like, we all get together and, yeah, we weep. You know, it's, actually, we do primal screaming. That's what we do.
I was describing what it was like. I have a friend who, Ricky Schroeder, who is, yeah, obviously, he was very famous when he was mm-hmm. young as well. And,
one of my favorite theme songs, TV theme songs of all time.
Silver Spoons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, like, the way you developed is not like the way the recipe calls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the recipe calls for you to have a childhood and try to figure out life and then become a man and try to find yourself and then
yeah.
try to find your path. And
mm-hmm.
by the time he became a man, he was already famous. And the mm-hmm. same thing with you. You were... already famous
mm-hmm.
as you were developing and learning.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I don't know exactly how to like kind of even describe it because
yeah.
it's always the way my life has been kind of thing. Like in the same way that like a lot of kids, like, you know, they go out and they, you know, catch bugs and play sandlot baseball or whatever. Like,
yeah.
yeah, it's just like, yeah, like that's the way it is. Like you don't really realize how unique the whole situation is until you have perspective because you have nothing to compare it to really other than – I guess, TV shows and movies and
right.
things like that. So I knew that my upbringing was unique. You know, I knew it was different. But at the same time, it's kind of just – it's not until you get some perspective, some life experience, until you really realize that, oh, wait, this was particularly weird.
Mm. You know, I think one of the aspects that's particularly weird about it is a lot of kids that grow up famous, they grow up on the set.
Yeah.
And they grow up constantly around people who treat them very differently than everyone else. It's not just that you're famous. It's that you're famous and you're also the complete center of attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're the reason why we're here. We're here to do this television show. We're here to do this movie. We're here to do this thing. You're the star.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think for a kid, that's a very strange place to be.
Yeah. And especially like, I mean, I like when I was a kid, like even before I started working, I always liked being like the center of attention kind of thing. I was definitely, you know, I was very boisterous, you know, but in general, like I never really liked being fussed over. Like I didn't like, you know, like yeah, the hair, makeup, costume people like poking at you all the time and things like that. I actually wasn't a huge fan after a while of kind of like being that center of attention. It, you know, it does become a job after a while.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. Like early on, you kind of just do what you do. Like that's like I was good at it, and boom, like in the same way, like that you do like anything that you're like you like.
It's weird that child labor laws don't apply to acting.
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Yeah, I'm pretty well versed in child labor laws.
Well, how's that work then?
It goes from state to state.
Mm-hmm.
They can work you, like let's say like in New York, they can work you 10 hours.
Yeah, but stop right there. They can work you. Like
well,
you can't get a job if you're eight.
That's what their limit is.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you have to get 3 hours of schooling in plus an hour of lunch. So really your available window is only 6 hours or something like that
right.
a day. And that like that also in like in that 6 hours, they're always like setting up the lights for the next shot and, you know,
mm-hmm.
the hurry up and wait kind of part of, you know, of things. That's why like the second Home Alone, it took like nearly 5 months to film because they can only – I'm in virtually every scene and they can only use me X amount of hours
right.
per day.
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're looking for something to do this summer, you might want to check out some of the upcoming fights. Even better if you can catch them up close in person. It's quite an experience. But if you want to get the best seats, you have to act fast. And that's true for a lot of things in life, especially when it comes to hiring for your business. You need to hire the most talented people you can before the competition scoops them up. And to do that, you need ZipRecruiter. And luckily, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of the most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. So, amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan to try it for free right now. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This episode is brought to you by Hostage Tape. First of all, what a great name. This is a product that I use, and I started using long before it was an ad. Your sleep game is about to get a whole lot better, kids, because I want to introduce you to Hostage Tape. Put simply, it is tape for your mouth. But you're probably wondering why you should even need that. Well, if you're a mouth breather, if you snore a lot, or if you suffer from sleep apnea, this could make a big difference. This mouth tape can reduce or eliminate snoring and apnea, and at the same time, it'll help filter the air going to your lungs, increase your oxygen uptake, and improve circulation, which will make you feel more energized. It has tons of other benefits, too, like it helps with bad breath, dry mouth, and of course, better sleep. For you and your partner, don't let bad sleep hold you hostage. Shut your fucking mouth with Hostage Tape. Buy it today and get a special buy two, get one free offer. That's a 90-day supply. Just visit HostageTape.com/Rogan. That's HostageTape.com/Rogan.
Hey, kind of thing.
But that isn't that the only job that you can work when you're 8 years old?
I don't know.
I mean, you can't be a carpenter.
I mean, I guess you can do modeling, you know, I mean, but like, yeah. Yeah, but like some kind of performing arts kind of thing. Like there are dancers and so forth. Because I was a ballet dancer before I was an actor.
Okay? Really?
Like, yeah. I did ballet for a number of years. I'm a classically trained ballerina right here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it a ballerina if you're a man?
I say I'm a ballet dancer, but there is a weird ballerino.
Ooh.
Like that some of them use, and I'm like, I'm not, I don't think I can call myself a ballerino. Like, I just like can't. It's too bro-y.
Sounds like it's from Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ballerino.
I'm Billy Ballerino.
Yeah. So I did that for a number of years, and there's a bunch of kids like, you know, that do that, and you get paid, and you do the work.
Wow.
So, you know, there are other, I guess, trades.
Yeah, that, like, it seems like it's business, though, right?
Yeah. That's what I mean. I think it's more in the performing arts kind of thing. Like, you know, you don't see a lot of kids working the coal mines anymore, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, for good reason, right? But some people think that...
It's like my six-year-old's dying of black lung, you know? Like,
There's some horrible pictures from, like, the early 1900s of people actually working in the coal mines when they're little tiny kids.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, there are no newsies anymore, you know, like, yeah.
Did you have any say in whether or not you worked when you were young?
Not really, no.
Yeah.
Like, it was, after a while, it became, like I said, a job, and it was, I never chose the projects. They were, like, my parents, right. Like, you know, essentially, like, chose them for me.
So they were, it was like, kind of good news, Macaulay.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. Yeah, they called
you're
me Macaulay.
You're
going
to buy us a new house.
Yeah, there you go, you know. And, like, I never read any of the scripts. Like, I would just read, like, the lines for, like, the next day or whatever. Like, I would, like, get the gist of what the movie was about. But then I just kind of show up and hit my marks, find my light. And recite my lines. You know,
so surreal.
It's kind of just like, again, like it's what you do,
right?
Like it's like in the same way that like, yeah, like kids go to like school or something like that. Like, you know, you fall into a routine to a certain extent.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's the thing about the human mind, right? It's so flexible. You could adopt any sort of weird scenario.
And especially when you're a kid. I mean, like, yeah, you can just bounce, like, all the time. Like,
yeah,
you know,
kids
like,
adapt so easy.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I always had, like, a good memory and things like that. Like, you know, I liked, you know, I was big and charismatic, and I like had a good memory, like, so I could remember my lines. Like, that's pretty much what, like, if you, you know, like, not gonna give any advice to any people about, like, yeah, you should put your kid into this line of work, but at the same time, like, what producers really care about is whether or not you remember your lines. Mm. Like, they like people, like, you know, never work with kids or animals kind of thing. And like, yeah, it's like, yeah, and they want, yeah, they really, all they really care about is you remember your lines, really, like, because I, apparently that's a problem. Like, for me, it never was. Like, if I ever lost my place, I would just see the script in my head and just read it. Like, oh. I kind of had a photographic memory back then. Oh, it's faded now.
Now it's gone. How old are you now?
I'm 37. I'm about to be 38 in like 2 weeks.
Feels weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, yeah. Like, my bowels are different. Like,
what's different about your bowels?
Oh yeah, no, just like a. Oh, actually, I just got a doing some like random checkup kind of thing, and they're like, oh, we should scope you, you know. So they also, you know, they, I did the scoping, like, you know, in my stomach kind of thing, but they also, you know, I got a colonoscopy. So I was actually hoping, like, because they were putting me under, so I was like, it didn't really matter to me, but I was going to
put you under for a colonoscopy?
Yeah, yeah. You know, at least I had that and a scoping. So I think, I don't know.
The, like, things,
yeah,
down the throat.
I was actually hoping they were going to use the butt one first and then put it in my mouth.
Why?
Yeah, no, just like, just ass to mouth, boom, like, yeah. But no, okay. No, apparently they use different cameras. Like, all right. You know.
Yeah, they're probably designed different. Yeah. They don't go as deep, right?
But because they were like all worried I might have an ulcer.
Oh.
And so, did the good
stomach
news.
Stomach pains or something?
Yeah, kind of, it's been a little iffy. And so the good news is I don't have an ulcer. Bad news is I have two ulcers. So,
like, oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm dealing with that. I've had to, like, curtail my lifestyle in general. Like, I'm eating less red meat, you know, less carbonated beverages, like ibuprofen, no more ibuprofen, like that kind of stuff.
Ibuprofen's terrible for your gut.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I've had to, like, you know, I used to, like, eat, like, burgers every single day. And now it's like I can have two servings of red meat a week kind of thing. And
what?
It wasn't too hard for me to curtail my lifestyle, like smoking less, trying to drink less, like things like that. Mm. Yeah.
What's the logic behind red meat less?
Like, I think I'm not the doctor.
Does the doctor have a method to his madness? Like,
it's like if you read the list of, like, yeah, things that are good or bad for your ulcer.
So things that aggravate it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So red meat, like, falls into that category. Like, it's weird, it was funny.
But chicken doesn't, fish doesn't?
Apparently not, or at least, you know, less so.
How weird.
And because my special lady friend, she was, like, you know, worried about me and stuff. So she was reading up on, like, you know, ulcers and things like that. And it was like the first, like, it was like seven things that, like, that flare it up, and all of them were like check marks for, like, exactly what I was doing in my life kind of thing. Like, you know, I said red meat, smoking, drinking. Like, I had just had, like, a neck issue, so I was taking a lot of ibuprofen. Mm. Like, and it was just like every single check mark, you know. So
yeah, I've read something about ibuprofen doing it, because ibuprofen disrupts gut bacteria, and they believe that gut bacteria, there was something really recent about that, a real recent study. They think that they found a new cause for ulcers. Like, they've changed what they think. They used to think it was caused by stress.
Which can do it, like, also. Because, like, I've just started a new company and things like that. So, like, I have that kind of stress, like, kind of thing. Like, you know, like I said, I hit a lot of the check marks. Like,
well, when you say can do it, I think what they were saying was they used to think it can do it. But now they think it's all a matter of bacteria in your stomach.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big part of it. And
yeah.
Also, if you, like, because I did a movie in Thailand, like, last year, and came back with a worm. So,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
one of those, like, single cell kind, like, you know. Ooh. When I was getting the medication for it, I was like, so what should I expect from this? And he's like, I expect you to get better. And I go, yeah, but, like, you know, what's, like, I said, am I going to shit a worm? Am I going to shit out of it? And they're like, no. Like, this is one of those single cell ones. But it made me more susceptible to, like, getting ulcers. You know, so.
Is this because of the antibiotics that you had to take for the worm, or
I think it messes with your stomach chemistry kind of thing.
Like, and you know, after that is when you got the ulcer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, so dealing with it, like, it's actually not so bad. Like, you know,
So what does it do to you? Like, what does an ulcer do?
You know, sometimes you kind of get a little pain, things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I mean, at one point I was, like, shitting, like, 10 times a day kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of just, like, kind of loosens your stool a little bit.
And,
yeah, it kind of gets mucusy. Like, oh, I mean, I can go in. I can go into it. That's what I mean. Yeah. You're asking me. Like,
I don't mind.
Yeah, yeah, all right, cool. It's okay. Yeah, I find this stuff fascinating.
It is fascinating.
I'm like, what just came out of me? Ooh.
Also fascinating, right, when you can't see what's going on. It's, like, behind a door. Like, yeah. What's happening in there?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's like, you can't even listen to it. Like,
yeah. And I was like, what was that? Was that chicken? I don't know. Like, which meal was that one? Like, you know, like I'm like experimenting with my stomach, seeing what it comes out the other end kind of thing. Kind of, yeah.
Did you experiment at all with probiotics? Did you do anything to try to...
No, not yet. This is a fairly recent thing. This has only been like in the last like not even 2 months. Like in the last like, you know, yeah, like 8 weeks or so. So like I am just kind of easing into this thing. I have a list. I made a little list of like things that are good for me. Like, you know, like to eat and things like that. Like, you know, make sure I get some yogurt, like lots of leafy greens, you know, things like that.
What is that ribbon on your jacket that you have pinned to the safety pin?
It's a participation badge. Because I participate in life. Look at me.
Is that what it's for?
Yeah. I mean, no, I mean, I went to a, it was a camp, like a summer camp themed wedding back in like almost a year ago, something like that. And so like they were giving out participation badges, like kind of thing, because if you participated in things. But yeah, no, everyone always asked me about the ribbon. Like,
yeah.
I kind of just like
safety pinned
on. Yeah, kind of just, you know, like I mean, I wear like all kinds of things, but for some reason everyone's like, what is that? What's that? You know, like, yeah, no, I'm participating in life. Here I am, aren't I? Like here, I'm on your podcast. Like,
you
I'm,
are participating
I
in life.
I am participating.
You seem really healthy. Like you seem like a together person.
Oh yeah, I know. It's really
a shocker for people.
I guess so. Like, you know, I'm actually usually for the most part I'm pretty put together. Like I'm you know, yeah. Like I got a good life now. I got a special lady friend. We have a dog and a cat.
Oh,
like, you know, yeah, yeah. It's
for a family.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's one thing to like exchange keys. It's another to get a cat. You know, so
you can get a cat together because a cat can kind of go anywhere.
Yeah,
but get a dog together. That's a big one.
It's a certain she already had the dog, but it's like it's a girl. She's one of those Shiba Inu. Whatever.
Oh yeah,
adorable. Looks like a stuffed animal kind of thing. And then we have and she's black. And then we got a big fluffy white cat. And it's like boy, girl, dog, cat. Like, you know, yeah, like, you know, yeah. Like it's they're really, really and they're adorable. Like I've seen dogs and cats play with each other before and it's kind of cute. And these guys play all the time. It's actually like it's a very special little relationship that they have.
That's
so
cute.
Oh yeah, no, we never turn on the television like in our house.
You just watch the cat.
We just watch like the dog and the cat and stuff, you know, yeah, yeah.
Do you plan on making people?
Yeah. No, I want. I'm gonna make some babies. You know, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, no, this one's a good one. So you know, like I'm probably gonna put some babies in her, like in a little bit. Like, yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, we've definitely been practicing, but yeah.
That's
but,
important.
Yeah, but yeah, no, yeah, no. This one, like, yeah, I'm gonna have some pretty babies. She's she's Asian, so I'm gonna have like, yeah, I'm gonna have little tiny little Asian babies. Like, yeah, it's
nice.
It's gonna be adorable. Like,
adorable.
A bunch of Sean Lennons running around the house. That's what I'm looking for.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah, no, because like, it's funny, like you know, like. I'm like it's almost like I feel entitled to make like Asian jokes because I have an Asian girlfriend kind of thing.
I don't
but
think
like
you're allowed.
I don't think I'm. I do it with her like all the time, but like I don't do
don't
it
let
in
anybody
public.
Know.
Yeah, no. It's like baby, you're my Yoko. Like you know, just like you know, like yeah. But like no, she's like you're gonna be my downfall.
You're the most hated person in all of music.
Yeah, yay. Exactly. Like you know,
you used to be able to if you were married to an Asian woman 10, 15 years ago, it'd be no problem.
I think if I have Asian babies, I'd be allowed to.
I don't even think so.
Well, because, you know, I'd have to deal with it every kind of like day kind of thing. It's like, oh, well, like I can, you know, I understand the struggle kind of thing. Like, you know, I'm trying to shield my kids.
Not
like,
good enough.
Yeah, you don't think
come
so?
After you. Yeah,
you don't think
privileged
so?
White male, wealthy white male who's famous.
Yeah.
You don't have a chance.
I guess I know, right?
Like, check all those boxes this, too, buddy.
Yeah, I know, it's true. Privileged, blonde-haired, Aryan male.
Who grew up famous.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, like, they're just warming their fingers up right now to write blogs.
Yeah.
They'll probably write a blog about you thinking that you can make Asian jokes.
I know. Like, that was one of the things that, like, you know, one of the things I really loved about her, like, was I remember when I made my first, like, Asian crack, like, and just wanted to, and she kind of, like, stopped. And then she was, like, laughed. She was like, I can't believe you said that. Like,
what was it? Did you say?
I said, you know how I know you're Asian? She goes, why? I said, it's the shape of your eyes. It's a dead giveaway. And she couldn't stop. She was like, that's funny.
You're allowed to say that.
Yeah.
You can't say it because the way you drive, bitch.
Yeah, no, exactly.
That would be a real problem.
Yeah. No.
You have to have a really good sense of humor to accept that
one. Exactly. Yeah.
But, and you know, you have a special relationship where you guys talk to each other.
And it's
that.
Baby, you are such a good driver. She's like, shut up. Would you stop with the Asian stuff? Because she is an excellent driver. So,
well, you could tell her you're a really good driver for because of whatever. I don't even know why that's weird.
Forget I even brought it up.
I'm so not racist. I don't even understand why that's weird.
Exactly. Believe me, I'm pretty relentless. But her family, they also they're down with It's I wouldn't even call it a teasing. It's just you're just telling jokes kind of thing. I'm the only white boy. When we visit the family,
What brand of Asian?
It's Thai Laotian.
Oh wow, that's exotic.
Yeah, I know Laotian.
I just got back from Thailand. I was just there. Yeah, first time ever.
That's where I caught my worm.
Yeah,
yeah.
So what is this worm? Did you find? Was it under your skin? Was it in?
No, I mean, like I said, it's like a single celled kind of one. It's in your stomach.
Oh, it was in your stomach.
Yeah, yeah.
How'd you know you had it?
I had a lot of fatigue, and again, my movements weren't all that great, things like that. Mm-hmm. And I remember waking up after about a good week or so of it. We had just wrapped up, we were there for 5-6 weeks or something. So I was back in the States, and it was just I was sleeping 20 hours a day, and only waking up to to shit pretty much. And then I remember waking up one of those days, and I said, I'm pretty sure I have a worm. It actually just popped in my head. I go, this is probably what a worm feels like. It was almost kind of a mono-esque kind of fatigue, that kind of thing. And so, went there and some heavy-duty antibiotics for 10 days.
How do they think you caught it?
I'm not sure.
You were on heavy-duty antibiotics for 10 days. That's probably what caused your ulcer.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? The worm doesn't help, and then the heavy-duty antibiotics and, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just kind of and also, again, lifestyle, kind of things,
right.
I can't pound bourbon like I used to kind of thing. That's kind of the idea.
Right.
I think I caught it from a cat. Because there was actually we were in a, it was Koh Phi Phi, that island. And I think that's Cat Island and stuff. And we had these little bungalows. And I remember I was we were just kind of checking in. And I pulled my bag up. And there's this little kind of kitten just walked up and was just hey, can I come in? And we're yeah, sure, come on in. I've had a lot of cats in my life and stuff. So yeah, that little sucker spent a lot of time and things like that. And,
that's probably exactly what it was.
Yeah, we'd sleep in the bed together and stuff like that. I'd Zerbert.
You should get yourself tested for toxoplasma.
Toxoplasmosis. I've actually had that before.
Well, you have it then.
Yeah.
And you have it for life.
Yeah, exactly. No, I went through the symptoms. I caught it from an undercooked piece of lamb, actually.
Whoa.
It's one of the four ways you can get it kind of thing.
No kidding.
Yeah, you can get it from cats. You can get it from undercooked lamb. You can get it through a blood transfusion. And I think the other one is a mother can transfer it to their baby. Believe me, I went to the whole CDC website and everything. And that was mono kind of thing. A lot of people catch it, but they just have the antibodies for it. And I was a little run down. I was doing a play in London for 10 months and also kind of going out at night and things like that. So I think my body was kind of just not at its strongest, and boom, it hit me a ton of bricks. That was mono kind of thing. And I was totally run down. I got better after about 3 months or so, but I didn't get 100% better for about a year.
There was a crazy article just written about toxo that it had some sort of impact on people who start up businesses, that they're more entrepreneurs have toxoplasmosis. It radically affects behavior, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I got it when I was 20. So,
yeah.
So
makes you more risk-taking, more.
Makes you more
out here. Yeah, yeah. Parasite found in cat poop has been linked to higher likelihood of entrepreneurial behavior in people who get infected.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
It makes
I just launched my own website recently and
that
kind of stuff. So there you go. I blame the toxoplasmosis.
Have you read up on it a lot?
I mean,
Have not, you like, read not, any no, of not, Robert not, Sapolsky stuff?
No. Not in you a should, while. Like, you know, like, I mean, like I said, I got this like in like 2000, 2001 or
Robert Sapolsky's he's a professor at Stanford, and he's a biologist, and he specializes in toxoplasmosis and primate behavior and a lot of other different things. He is a biologist, right? Is that his discipline?
Yeah.
But anyway, he's got some amazing talks on it. You really should listen to it since you have it.
Yeah.
It's fascinating stuff. They found a disproportionate number of motorcycle victims, people with motorcycle crashes.
Risk-taking. Like, yes. Yeah, that's what you were saying.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's actually, that's fascinating.
Yeah. It you know how it works? It can only reproduce inside the cat's gut,
mm-hmm.
and it rewires the sexual reward system of a rat. So it makes a rat horny when it smells cat piss.
Oh, so
it completely changes the cat's sexual reward system.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
The
evolutionary advantage, you know, of having for a cat to have it. Like,
evolutionary advantage. It actually tricks the cat into killing the rat and tricks the rat into being horny.
No, exactly.
Around the cat.
To come around. No, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I mean. There's an evolutionary advantage to that because, if you're a cat and you have toxoplasmosis, mm-hmm. like it's going to, it's going to attract your prey to you.
It doesn't work that way. The rat has to be infected. When the rat's infected, then it smells cat urine and it gets horny. Mm-hmm. When the cat's infected, it doesn't do anything to the cat.
Yeah.
It seems to have no change in the behavior of the cat, but then it gets to people.
Yeah.
So it only affects really the behavior of people and rats.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. But yeah, no. Well, I caught it. I got the antibodies for it or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah, it's one of those like forever kind of things. But it doesn't affect me like at all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no health issue.
Health issue.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, yeah, no. It's like, yeah, it's just it was one of those things where like, yeah, I got sick for a couple of months and then boom. But like I said, it was like mono.
I think
I was just
said
tired.
There's a disproportionate number of successful soccer teams that come from countries that have high rates of toxoplasma infection.
I should get into soccer.
Well, it's just one of those things. It's just it changes the way people behave.
Ooh.
Makes them a little wilder.
So you're saying you're interested in some toxoplasmosis?
I might already have it.
Yeah, toxo.
I should probably get checked.
Toxo Gandhi or whatever it is. Looking at you.
Mm-hmm. Toxoplasma Gandhi. So what was this movie in Thailand?
It was my buddy Seth Green. He wrote and directed a movie, and so he asked me to do something in it, and you know, like, because I don't really pursue acting like at all, kind of thing. And I'm not saying it was a favor or anything like that, but at the same time, it was like, yeah, like sounds like fun. So it's a cool cast. It's like him. He's in it. Breckin Meyer's in it. Brenda Song. Me.
So know. Do you just like do whatever you want these days, and just occasionally act when it comes up?
Yeah, if it comes up, like, you know, if it's a cool, like, neat little gig or something like that, like, yeah, sure. But like I said, I don't pursue it in any kind of, like, any way. Like, I don't have agents anymore and things like that.
Is that because you're just not interested, or?
Yeah, kind of not interested. I don't really like the pursuit of it. You know, like, yeah, like what it
the
takes
whole process, to process, auditions,
exactly.
Meetings,
I don't like being on the circuit kind of thing. Looking, yeah. So, but yeah, no, I am. You know, I write a lot. I paint a lot. Like, I just kind of always have, like some kind of projects. And then also, like I said, we got the website, bunnyears.com kind of thing.
And what is that?
That is it's a comedy website. It's pretty much like you know how all these celebrities, especially, like, ladies, they have those lifestyle websites.
All of them?
Well, a lot of them do. You know, like, yeah, like Goop. You know,
yeah,
it's one of them
that I know of. Is there other ones?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's like, yeah, it's
the Goop one's the most egregious, though.
Yeah, that's the thing is that this is like Goop meets the Onion. So
Goop is like Goop meets the Onion.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, but accidentally, you know, yeah.
They're telling you to put jade balls up your vagina.
I know. Believe me, we had an
bunny ears.
Yeah, we have
we
have an article
on a beach in a hot. Wait, hold on. What is that? Is it just do that thing? Oh, annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
How to have sex on a beach in a hot tub and other things that seemed fun as a virgin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh. It's Hannah Michaels. Hannah. She's a fantastic writer. And you have a little scroll and things like
so
that.
So you have a podcast as well?
Yeah, we do a podcast also.
Mm.
And we're revving up some more like video content and things. But yeah.
So this is just a fun project for you.
Yeah, it's got a lot of really great writers, like comedy writers and stuff. And yeah, it's kind of just like, oh, like there's like an article about a jade egg. Like, oh, I put a jade egg up my vagina and I hatch a jade bird. You know, like that kind of thing. Mm. Like, you know, and then like you know what to do about your bird living in your vagina now. like you know, it's like, the, like you know what I mean. We're kind of like taking the piss out of like you know some of these kind of like lifestyle-y websites.
Right.
You know, it's like it's like, you know, they'll have articles like on Goop about like, oh, the best Cabernets like for like $200 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like ours is like the best bourbons under, you know, $20. But then like it turns like the spelling gets worse and worse. And then it turns into a rant about your ex-girlfriend. You know, like, so like things like that. It's some really good stuff. Like I said, we have a really, really great team of people. And yeah, it's kind of like I said, taking the piss out of things and
right.
stuff.
And so you just decided to do this just for fun.
Yeah, I kind of had this idea. It was kind of like kicking it around and so forth. And then I felt like I kind of accumulated enough ideas. And then, yeah, then I started kind of Voltroning it, like just grabbing, assembling, you know, like this project, this giant robot, you know, yeah. So there you go. It's a lot of fun. It is funny. Like we have, like I said, there's actually, look, those articles are really well written. Like we have one about, do you see Infinity War?
The Avengers?
Yeah, the Avengers one.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Good?
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah? It's fantastic. But like we made our own Infinity Gauntlet. And what happens, like, you know, spoiler alert, is, like, a lot of the people kind of just vanish. Like, they kind of just die. Like, you know, they turn into dust.
In the
know?
Movie?
In the movie at the end. Damn. So, like, when you start reading the article, it all of a sudden, just all the words just start vanishing. And then, like, you know, and then you have to go back and, like, yeah. It's like, yeah, even, like, the letters. Like, we actually had we did one where it was a ransom letter. One of our writers, her father is actually the therapist for Goop, like the actual like psychiatrist,
what?
The official one. So we
Goop has their own therapist?
Yeah, you know, yes.
But is it like a weekly advice therapist or is it just like therapy just for being on Goop? Like, I know you're here because you're a mess. So here, just read this.
Just read this. It's okay.
So we're here for you. Hugs.
So we got pictures of him bound and gagged. And it's like, dear Goop, like we kidnapped your therapist. You can only get him back if you give us your 7 hot tips for, you know, yeah, like a... for facial washes for this summer, like, you know, like, and you know what? They actually, good on them. They responded and they actually like sent us over like a list of like here are the hot like kind of like. I was like, you know, good for them. Like they had a sense of humor about the whole thing. Like,
I think they have to. They're called Goop.
I know. Yeah, we thought about naming ours Poog.
they'd probably sue.
Yeah, I know. I was like, yeah, like no. So.
So you're basically financially set from all those movies. So
I do okay for myself. You know, yeah.
But
yeah.
Do you just put that money away and just live off the interest?
Is that pretty much, you know, yeah. And, yeah, I'm able to kind of live the life that, you know, like that, that my circumstances afforded me. I'm, like I said, I'm very, very, very lucky. Mm-hmm. You know, lots of weird things happen to kids all the time, all around the world, every day. You know, I have something to show for it. You know, like, yeah, like, you know, so it's nice. I can live, what is it? It's my buddy Jack, he goes,
that's a weird way to describe a movie career.
Yeah, pretty
Lots
much.
Lots of weird things happen to kids.
Yeah, man.
But
I
got some money out of it.
Look, I'm not working like the diamond mines. I'm not a child soldier. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I came out the other end and I have something to show for it. And I'm very like, I do feel blessed every morning kind of thing. Like,
so
you know,
you're happy that it all worked out that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you could go back and do it again, would you do it the same way?
Knowing what I know now, I mean, probably, you know, uh-huh. I'd probably be even more charming. I'd do it just better.
Well, of course you would, right?
Yeah,
go
exactly.
Go back and do it now.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you could just have your brain in a little kid's body?
Yeah, I know. I would kill it.
Grade school.
I would so kill it, like in school. Like, oh yeah,
psychological warfare. They wouldn't know what's coming.
Yeah,
those little fucks.
Yeah,
I was twist their little brains up in knots.
Oh, exactly. No, that would be great. I'm pretty sure that's what a 30 going on 13 was, right?
And then going, what's that?
Isn't that a Jennifer Gardner movie? Yeah.
I have no idea what any Jennifer Gardner movies are.
Well, you know, now you do.
Yeah. Wow. 30 going on 13.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
that like a brain swap one?
Kind of. Yes, but yeah. She like yeah, her adult brain
somehow
goes into her when she's 13. Looking at Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
Like, so it's kind of a Freaky Friday with some time travel, I guess.
Uh huh. Yeah.
So yeah, so You're gonna Netflix it tonight, aren't you?
Nope.
I can tell. I can see it. You've been thoroughly charmed by Jennifer Gardner.
That's
I can tell.
That's an interesting life you have. Then you just kind of do whatever you want.
Yeah, my friend Jack says I'm a man of leisure. That's the way he describes like my life and lifestyle.
That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah, it's true. And spend some time just like jumping around like Europe or something like that. Mm-hmm.
You lived in Paris, you were saying?
Yeah,
lived
there for a number of years. I mean, I still have my place there, but since like 2013, something like that. It's only in the last year I've been kind of spending more time in the States.
What was it that brought you to Paris?
Well, the food sucks, the wine's terrible, and the women are ugly. But otherwise, it's fantastic. Yeah. No, it's okay. It was an agreeable lifestyle. I had a bunch of friends out there. They were always asking me, when are you going to move to Paris and when are you going to learn French? Kind of thing.
Your friends in Paris were asking you that?
Yeah. And I was there just kind of jumping around a little bit. And so I thought about it for a second and I went, you know what? How's next week? So I said, I'm going to leave my bags here. I'm going to fly back to New York. I'm going to put my affairs in order. And I said, I'll be back next week. I'm ready to live here. I mean, I realized that if I could pick up and just move to France on a whim, and it wouldn't affect anyone's life, or it wouldn't hurt anybody or anything like that, I'd be remiss if I didn't. Hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like how many times am I like, I couldn't do that now, but I could do it back then, kind of thing.
Right.
You know? So I was like, yeah, like, no, I should just fuck it. Like, I'm gonna live in Paris now. You know, yeah. And it was great. It was
a lot of people have done that. Johnny Depp lived there for a little while. I know Richard Belzer lived there for a while.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a special place.
What's special about it?
Again, food and wine's fantastic. Like, the girls are pretty. Like, it's the leisurely kind of like lifestyle a little bit. Like, I like their eating habits. You know, like it's like a light breakfast and kind of gets heavier as you kind of go along in the day. You kind of eat later, which is kind of like, you know, like oh, you're American, you must want to eat dinner at like 8.
Like, what time do they eat?
Like 10. You know, like
10 p.m.
Yeah, about 10 p.m. is like, you know, kind of a, you know, an ideal like dinner kind of time.
They don't like to work hard either, right?
I mean, no, I mean, they work. I mean, I think, you know.
But they like to take their time and.
Yeah, everything is like, yeah, it's like, you know, I'll set up a card game for like 3:30. Like, and 3:30 means like 5. You know, like, yeah, that's just the way, like, everyone's kind of always late, but it's no big deal. That's the thing. I remember one time kind of being like, oh, gosh, like, you know, just like, where are they? Kind of, and then I realized, I'm like, wait, what is the hurry? Like, for real, like, what is the hurry? Like, right. It's not like I have other plans. My plan is to hang out, like, you know, with you guys. And so, and all of a sudden, like, stress would just kind of just melt away. I'm like, yeah, like, look, you can just be more leisurely and stuff about things out there. And everyone's like, yeah, like I said, it's really cool. They like Americans out there. That's a misconception that they don't like. They don't like the loud, obnoxious Americans with the, you know, Mickey Mouse t-shirt and the
fanny
packs.
Well, we don't either.
Stuff. Yeah, no, neither do we.
Did you say fanny packs? How dare you?
I did.
I have one.
It's right here.
They're wonderful. Oh, yeah. Great way to keep your stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you got a nice, like, leather one. Yeah. I use inside pockets. I got inside pockets. Oh, yeah. That's my purse.
Mm. Well, that works too.
I also have a satchel that I travel around with also. Like, yeah, like
man,
a nice
purse.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Satchel.
Yeah, you know what? It's actually, I do call it my purse, like, you know, in day to day kind of thing, because it's like someone's like, oh, it's a satchel or it's a merce. I'm like, no, it's a purse. Like, yeah, like, well, no illusions here.
Isn't
guys.
It funny that you would be insulted or more positive about it if it had a different sound coming out of your mouth?
Yeah, right? And it's like, no, it's
the exact
it's a purse.
Same thing.
It's a purse.
Yeah, it's a purse.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
What happened there? Why did men, how come we can't have purses? Like,
right?
No one's going to do that. Like, there's a few bold souls that will put on a fanny pack and walk out into public.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of people that will just actually
I like how you
wear,
just called yourself bold.
It's a joke. But there's not a lot of people that would wear an actual purse, like a Louis Vuitton purse.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, I'm secure enough in myself and like everything. Like yeah, I can pull off the purse look. I mean, I wear fingernail polish and, you know, I have a participation badge. Like, I kind of like, I'm like.
Yeah, you have like fingernail stripes. Like, yeah, not all polished, but like a little bit.
Yeah. I actually do it on purpose. Like, it's like, they do make my fingers a little too feminine if it's done perfectly. Mm. So, but I'm actually really good. When I did that movie Party Monster, I learned a lot of like just fun makeup-y kind of things and like ways to make your fingers look like they're like, you know, like like they're 2 weeks old when really like, you know, yeah, like, you know, technically, like, I mean, I could have like painted these yesterday and they would look like this kind of thing, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, I always just liked nail polish. What can I say? You know, yeah. But yeah, no, I'm secure enough to like wear a purse or something like that. Like, you know, I have no issue with that.
Yeah.
Oh no, I don't
have
to
wear
issue.
A backpack though. That's where it's weird. What's this? Mickey Rourke?
Louis Vuitton purse.
Yeah, nice. He's got what are those called? A clutch.
So, yeah. Yeah, that looks more like a clutch.
Yeah, but he's so eccentric. I met him this past weekend. He had a crazy cowboy. We're looking at a picture of Mickey Rourke. He had a crazy cowboy hat on, and he's just.
Yeah, he seems like a kook. I mean, you can see that picture, gone. Like that belt buckle, like really, like that was, you know, that's something. Like, yeah, like good on him.
Yeah, and he's just an odd duck all around.
Yeah. For some reason, it reminds me of it was an old Onion article, and it's one of my favorite headlines. And it was Johnny Depp found to be 90% scarves.
This episode is brought to you by Hostage Tape. First of all, what a great name. This is a product that I use, and I started using long before it was an ad. Your sleep game is about to get a whole lot better, kids, because I want to introduce you to Hostage Tape. Put simply, it is tape for your mouth. But you're probably wondering why you should even need that. Well, if you're a mouth breather, if you snore a lot, or if you suffer from sleep apnea, this could make a big difference. This mouth tape can reduce or eliminate snoring and apnea, and at the same time, it'll help filter the air going to your lungs, increase your oxygen uptake, and improve circulation, which will make you feel more energized. It has tons of other benefits, too, like it helps with bad breath, dry mouth, and, of course, better sleep. For you and your partner, don't let bad sleep hold you hostage. Shut your fucking mouth with Hostage Tape. Buy it today and get a special buy two, get one free offer. That's a 90-day supply. Just visit HostageTape.com/Rogan. That's HostageTape.com/Rogan.
Yeah, he got like way scarfy after the whole pirate movie thing.
Yeah, he went straight scarf like for the rest of his life kind of thing. He's like, yeah, he really committed to that scarf thing.
Well, that's when you're a beautiful man like that, it's an odd transition to being like a 55-year-old.
It's like, what's up with Johnny Depp lately?
Not good things.
I know. It's really strange. Actually, they just this morning, they delayed or like actually like or canceled. He has a Notorious B.I.G. movie coming out that he's in with Forest Whitaker, and it was supposed to come out next month, and they just pulled it from the schedule, and they haven't like even said that it's ever going to come out or something. Ooh. And it's like, and even just like looking at pictures of him, like it kind of just like there's something off about him. Like
he's hanging
out
with Doug Stanhope.
He used to be really. He used to be really great.
Stanhope, what'd you do to him? You fuck.
I don't even know who that is.
Doug Stanhope.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best stand-up comedians ever.
There you go.
He's.
I'm more of a Stephen Wright fan myself.
Me too.
Yeah. No, love Stephen Wright.
But I think Johnny's just. He hit that weird spot where you're just too fucking famous. You can't go anywhere. Where you were when you were little, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Yeah.
But you can coast now, right? You can go places.
Yeah. Like how rich is rich enough? Like, dude. Like, right. Like, yeah. Like, that's what I mean.
It's
like,
not just that, but he spends. He owns 14 houses.
Yeah, he owns an island.
Millions and millions of dollars
worth
of art.
Didn't he spend like $5 million shooting Hunter S. Thompson's ashes out of a cannon?
Yeah,
but they asked him, like, didn't you spend $1 million? He goes, no, of course not. I spent $3 million. Yeah.
Like, that's all right, what cool. They asked him about his wine habit. They said, your attorney said that your wine habit is $30,000 a month. And he goes, that's an insult. It's far more than
It's far, far more than that. No, that's what I mean. Like, how, you know, like, all right, cool. Like, I guess he has to maintain, you know, that lifestyle.
Well, that's what
he wants for himself.
That's what he's doing. I mean, that's his life. His life is spending all that money.
Yeah.
Like, his whole life is doing movie. That sometimes he's earning happens it, you know? To people, though, also when they're involved in laborious projects that they're not really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're doing something all day. And I say this as a guy who hosted Fear Factor. When you're doing something all day you did, that you don't really enjoy doing while you're doing it, you're mm-hmm. like, okay, time to go to work. I mean, I was very thankful to have the job. Don't get me wrong. But the reality is it was not enjoyable.
It wasn't a fruitful endeavor.
It wasn't like working for the UFC or doing stand-up comedy or even doing a podcast.
Yeah, it wasn't a passion project.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So when you do something like that, like people on bad sitcoms in particular, they spend all their fucking money. They go go crazy.
Yeah.
Because the only thing that they look forward to is, what am I going to do with this money?
What's the reward?
I'm going to buy a Ferrari. Yeah. I'm going to buy a mansion.
I'm going to buy an island.
Yeah. You know? And that's, I think that's what Johnny got into.
Yeah. I couldn't see myself like doing like a sitcom or a television show kind of thing. Like,
what about a good sitcom?
A good one I do. Like, News Radio is a fantastic show. Like, that must have been like a fruitful endeavor.
The reason why I never did another one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You don't want to ruin that experience.
Well, every other one that came along was like, this is shit.
Well, they pursued me for Big Bang Theory.
Oh, Christ. You got lucky, escaped that.
And I said, no, because it was kind of like the way the pitch was kind of just like, all right, these two like astrophysicist nerds, and then a pretty girl lives with them. Yoinks! Like, you know, and like that was the, like, that was the pitch. And it was like, and like,
yeah.
It was just like, yeah. And they're like, oh, we're going to get some real like physicists to like, you know, do the math. And I said like, yeah, no, I said, I'm cool. Like, thanks.
Yeah.
And then they came back at me again. And I said, no, like, I'm like, again, flattered, but like, no. And then like, then they came back at me again, and like even my manager was like twisting my arm. And
like,
I was
come like, on, I want the piece of this, Macaulay.
Listen, I'd have hundreds of millions come of dollars on. Right now if I did that gig. At the same time, I'd be bashing my head against the wall.
That's the thing. Yeah. I mean, I think that's what Johnny Depp's doing. I mean, he can't really be into those pirate movies.
Yeah, no, he's interested. Like, and that's the thing, is that like he wasn't always like that. But right now, it's like all about the money right now.
Well, this
now.
Is the thing. I read an article with an interview with him that was about two decades ago. And he was talking about, you know, he was in his 30s, and he was doing a lot of weird, obscure movies. Like, what was that movie, Dead Man, that black and white?
Yeah, yeah, Jarmusch. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He did a lot of weird shit. And he said, this is kind of what I really like, and I'm not blockbuster boy, which is what he said.
No,
so ironic.
Which is so ironic. They know the
old
quotes.
Fucking blockbuster boy.
Yeah. No, he goes, yeah, if I'm ever a part of like a franchise, like Just Shoot Me or something like that.
Oh,
and it's like, just like, yeah, they're pulling up these weird, like, old quotes.
Yeah.
It was a, it's like the George Lucas, like when he testified before Congress about the colorization of movies,
mm-hmm.
and talking about how movies are part of our heritage, and you know they shouldn't be tampered with, and then he goes back like 25 years later, he's going back and redoing his movies, like it's like once you put art out there, like,
leave it alone.
Like, no, it's not yours anymore.
Yeah,
like that's the thing. Like once you show like your paintings, like that's not yours anymore. That's the world's.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. I mean, you don't think it's theirs anymore.
Imagine if Leonardo da Vinci like just all of a sudden came back into existence right now, and he wants to change the Mona Lisa.
Oh, she's fat.
Yeah, he's like I kind of didn't get the I didn't get the smile right.
I don't like her eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at her hair; it's all pulled back and shit. I want
to
see it.
So. Should he be able to change it?
I want to give her some fucking jewelry.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
I never finished the eyebrows.
I want to give her big tits. And I want to push them together. Come on. Let me try.
Come on.
Come on. It's my fucking painting.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Leonardo da Vinci is a modern Italian.
Yeah, I know. I love it.
Come on. I want big tits with fucking glitter.
It's like he's like living on like Mulberry Street in little Italy. Hey, pizza.
Yeah, I like a fake lip. Yeah. That's what I want.
Give me some claims casino.
Hey, this fucking broad. Look at her. Look at her now.
Look at that smile.
Proposed that? Who's talking about that theory that some people believe that Leonardo da Vinci, that Mona Lisa was him in drag?
Yeah, that it was that? A self-portrait.
Who was it?
Callan said that when I was bringing it up.
That's right. Callan said that the other day.
Yeah, I've seen those things.
What is pull up a picture of him. This is what we never did. We only pulled up a picture of the photo. We never pulled up a picture of him and the photo. I wonder. That's fascinating. If that really was the case, if he just decided to paint himself in drag.
Well, they found all kinds of things in that painting, like in her her iris of her eyes, there's actually like letters in there and stuff.
Creepy.
Really, really tiny, straight Illuminati.
Demon comes right out of the ground.
<You know?
laughs> I had a dream that demons were real. Last night, I just remembered it.
I just had a dream where
how stupid am I? Almost 51 years old.
Dreams are dreams, you know? Yeah,
but that's a weak fucking thought.
I had a dream
head.
The other day where I was the biggest dick in the world.
Oh.
Like, I was actually just being really rude to everybody.
Here's the, there's the, so. A drawing of him.
Wow. It's like looking in a mirror.
Yeah.
Nailed it, guys.
That's a, oh. Hmm.
Yeah, you know, you can kind of size anything into anything.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, the head's a little tall.
it might have gotten confused with that. You know, the drawing of the man in the circle and the square?
Yeah,
the self-portrait, supposedly.
Well, you know, but maybe he just imagined himself as a woman. I mean, that's not necessarily him in drag. Like, I've imagined that before. What would happen if I was born a girl? What would I look like? Would I look the same?
I just stare at myself naked in the mirror every day.
Yeah, finger bang myself,
hours.
Bro.
Yeah, just, right?
I just go, yeah.
Right here, right here.
Yeah, 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 bro.
We did it.
Look what I got. I got a little one of these for you.
Look what I got for you.
Yeah, I dress like a dude just to fuck with people.
Look at my titties.
With Michelangelo, I always used to get them confused with Leonardo da Vinci. Leonardo da Vinci was the one that invented a bunch of shit, though.
Yeah, he was he was the Renaissance man. Like, yeah. No, he was also kind of an engineer.
Yeah.
And he actually made, like, or at least, like, you know, like, it was like a tank kind of thing. Like,
and
you know,
a plane.
Like,
an airplane as well.
He actually designed, but he designed, like, weapons of war also. Like, it wasn't just, like, airplanes or at least gliders and helicopters and so forth. But yeah, no, he, like, yeah, he.
Yeah, look at all the different shit that he came up with.
Yeah, that's his tank.
Wow. So it looks like a spaceship.
And you can see, like, there's, like, kind of, like holes for, like, guns all around it. And it's, like, wheels. Like, I'm not sure if they actually built it or not.
That's like a kill everybody tank. They're so nondescript with where those bullets are going. Mm-hmm. They're going at 360.
Mm-hmm.
360 degrees.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's spinning that thing around.
But yeah, no, he made like, yeah, he actually like designed weapons of
but
war.
Those were cannons. It must have been, right?
Probably. That's what it kind of
looks
like.
They didn't have really guns back then.
Yeah,
correct?
There you go. There's in that design. Yeah.
Oh, so they're all cannons.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That is crazy.
Yeah, no,
he's a freak.
He was rad. Man, like he was awesome.
Hanging out with that guy.
Yeah, right. Just you know, draw me like one of your French girls.
Yeah. How weird. Mm-hmm. Weird guy.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. Michelangelo, it's the Sistine Chapel, and he was actually more of a sculptor than a painter. Funny
Look
enough.
At that crossbow he invented.
Yeah, but it's like a giant one.
Yeah,
looking at yeah.
Like one of the ones that they killed the Smaug with.
Yeah, look at like the one the multi gun. Like, he almost kind of invented, like, a machine gun. Like, the one just left of that, yeah.
Whoa.
That's a bunch of gun
bunch
barrels.
Of cannons?
Yeah, yeah. It's a bunch of gun barrels. And it was, like, almost like a...
Whoa.
Like, I mean, it's, like the first design for a machine gun, essentially.
Wow.
It shoots in multiple directions. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I would really love to talk to an extraordinary person from back then. It must have been so different.
Hey, give me some Clams Casino.
Hey,
look at this fucking guy.
Look
at
the bird. Hey. Look at this airplane thing he made.
Yeah, like a glider. You know?
Like to talk to Picasso or to talk to Da Vinci or any of these people from exceptional people from a long
Picasso
time ago.
Picasso is like my favorite, at least when it comes to his paintings and stuff. But, you know, I heard he wasn't necessarily like, you know, the like coolest person to be around kind of thing. You ever see the there was like
what was the deal with him? Just like
I think he
crazy,
was
he angry
was
artist.
He was very aware that he was Picasso. Like you know, like he was yeah, he was already like the most famous painter in the world and he knew it kind of thing. He actually used to walk around, he didn't carry money or a wallet. He just carried like a pad. So if he wanted to get like a pack of cigarettes, he kind of just like and there you go. And like that's
what?
How, so he never had to like pay for anything because he was
he
Picasso.
Just scribble shit?
Yeah, yeah. He kind of say and listen, would you accept that trade, a pack of cigarettes for a Picasso? Like, yeah, I'd take that trade.
So are those around?
Yeah. He actually has a lot of, like, little sketches, like, all around. They're actually quite affordable, at least in terms of owning a Picasso. Like,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he was very prolific and just, like, a lot of, like, ink drawings and so forth.
Wow.
I remember there was the SNL sketch. It was, like, Lovitz was playing Picasso. And it's, like, but, like, he kind of – I think he went around kind of just doing anything he wanted. And he's, like, it's because I'm Picasso. Like, you know, and he was just, like, just being a jerk to everybody. You can imagine Lovitz doing that.
Lovitz.
Yeah. He's, like, because I'm Picasso. So
that's a good Lovitz impression.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, there you go.
he was on news radio for a whole season.
Oh yeah. After Phil.
Yeah, I hung out with him. He's a good guy.
Yeah, I've always like every time I've like bumped into him, like
very nice person.
Yeah, really really sweet. I ran into him at I went to the with my buddy Seth Green. We went to the Pee Wee Herman Broadway show that they had a bunch of years back.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I ran into Lovitz like there backstage. So it's like yeah, just like. Me, Seth Green, Pee Wee Herman, and John Lovitz. And I'm like, this is quite a little get together. This is great. This is a great table.
Lovitz was doing stand up for a while. I don't think he's doing it anymore because I don't see him anymore. But a few years back, he was doing a lot of stand up. Like he was
even like
bought
back on
a
the road.
Club. He bought the John Lovitz Comedy Club in Universal. Universal is the worst comedy club design of all time.
Well, you know, it's weird that he was actually able to find a club that was already named after him.
He was.
What are the odds?
He bought a place. It used to be the House of Blues. It was B.B. King's club. It was B.B. King's Blues Club, and he turned it into the John Lovitz thing. And he was, wow, now it's really interesting. I'm remembering that I saw Sean Penn had that older brother, that big brother
Chris.
That died.
Chris Penn.
I saw that guy there play the harmonica, hammered. Went on stage and played the harmonica.
Look at me. I'm Chris Penn.
Yeah, it was some weird Hollywood thing. And I was like, wow, imagine that. You're so famous. You just jump on stage at a blues club and play the harmonica and everybody's happy you're there. Like, how weird.
Yeah.
But
I was hoping it was going to be like Sean Penn jumped up there and did like his tight five.
But you would be on. That would be strange. John Mayer does stand up.
I've heard that.
It's very strange. Yeah. So if you're on stage here, B.B. King's place, like if this was a stage, there would be a balcony, but it would be above you, like way up there, like mm-hmm. right above you. Mm-hmm. And so like you'd have to look up to see the people that are watching. So they're basically looking straight down on the top of your head. Worst idea for a comic club design ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's that isn't
not
that
the
doesn't
worst
right.
when you're seeing music. You know, you don't necessarily have to be as connected to the person's face.
I've been to a place where actually like you were literally right over like the band, and that was kind of neat. Like actually watching
right?
the drummer from overhead. Like kind of it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
But just watching somebody with a bald spot on the top of their head.
Yeah,
that's really close. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's Lovitz. Hey, look at me.
Look at me being funny at my own club.
I'm Picasso.
I imagined it was taller than that. That's interesting. My memory is not that good. Yeah.
Yeah, getting older. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, it's just getting weird because it's got too much shit in there. My brain has too much information.
It's like running out of room almost.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm deleting space on my hard drive for new things.
Yeah.
And then like seventh grade. I went to seventh grade. Tell me
geez.
More.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, what happened there?
Let's get rid of that seventh grade.
We don't need that
anymore. Who needs cursive? Am I right?
I wonder what John's doing. I wonder why he stopped doing stand-up because he was actually pretty funny. And it was weird because he was already famous. And one of the things was like, I had tried to encourage Phil Hartman to do stand up several times because he would do stand up where he would warm up for the crowd would be there for the show.
Yeah.
And in between scenes, there was always some downtime. And Phil would take the warm ups microphone and do bits.
Just riff.
He would do like his Bill Clinton impression. This was during the whole Monica Lewinsky scandal.
So
he had like all this material about Bill Clinton and Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And his impressions were amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's one of my favorites of all time on that show.
Yeah. He was amazing. And so he was thinking about, what is this? Two shows tonight.
Yeah, I don't know.
Where is he? Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah, August 4th.
He's still doing stand-up.
Look at that.
He didn't give a fuck. Look at him out there.
Look at him with those glasses. It's great.
Hey,
he looks happy. He looks happy.
Hey, got 14 likes.
Hey, I'm John Lovitz.
Look at all the likes.
Look at all my likes.
Yeah, so he's still doing it. Interesting.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him. Yeah. Like I said, I always liked him.
He's a great guy.
When
great
I did guy. SNL, I think it was the first season where he had just left, I think.
Oh.
Because I did it pretty much, probably if I had to pick a season, I would have been the one I did. Because you still had Carvey and you still had, Hartman and Victoria Jackson, like the whole kind of group. But
I forgot about Victoria Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
She was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened to her?
She's a hardcore conservative now.
What?
Yeah, huge, like, right-wing.
Come on.
Right-winger. She's put on a little weight, but haven't we all?
Really?
And, and, like, no, she's actually a hardcore conservative now. Like, she shouts it from the mountaintops.
What?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What was she like when you met her?
She was fine. I mean, listen.
So was she conservative back then?
I was busy doing the show kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, because it's a lot of work. And like,
sure.
Not only that, I had to do... I had to do it without cue cards because my father didn't want me to use cue cards. So I had to memorize all that stuff. Plus,
Dad.
Plus the skits that didn't even make into the show. So I had to memorize like skits that didn't even end up in
what?
The show. Yeah.
What kind of shit is that, Dad?
Yeah, I had a good memory, and he didn't want me reading. Because you can see it. You can see it when people are reading. And he didn't want me doing that. So So no cue card, but also that means the other actors.
No cue card for them either.
Yeah, of course not.
Christ.
So they had I'm sure my father made a lot of friends that weekend.
Well, that's fucked up. Like, how can he dictate whether or not the other actors get cue cards?
I don't know because it's Because he apparently he could.
Victoria Jackson's a hardcore conservative. Yep. That's so strange.
Yeah, like I said,
to
she
me.
Shouts it from the mountaintops, like in,
like
in
she's active.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she was like a, you know, so it was that whole kind of group, that kind of mm-hmm. late '80s group. But then also it was Mike Myers' second season, I think, you know, it was in the, it was like, you know, Schneider, Sandler, Chris Rock, you know, right. So it was like that kind of overlap year. So mm-hmm. I actually got like a really kind of like really good group that, you know, so
that was awesome.
That was neat.
It's always weird when someone from like a TV show gets really political.
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. like Chuck Woolery from The Love Connection.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah.
That guy is... He's so fucking crazy conservative. It's
oh, really?
Nuts. Yeah, his Twitter feed. I go to his Twitter feed every now and then just to see what crazy old men conservatives are really interested
yeah,
in.
Yeah. How often does he use the term fake news? You know, yeah.
Fake news and the libs and yeah. the Dems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the Dems and the libs.
The alt-right. You know,
yeah, mm-hmm. he's got a like a radio show, like some... like all what we make sense, like one of those things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no yeah. nonsense.
Blunt force truth.
There
wow.
it is.
Wow. blunt force truth.
Yeah, you damn liberals.
It's kind of more like that sounds like a band from Brooklyn.
Look at it. 3D printed firearms are a concern for crime, but criminals will do bad things no matter what. Find out more by listening to Blunt Force Truth. Look at that. It's hashtag BFT.
Wow, he's pushing that now.
We should listen to some of that, just for he's and ha-ha.
Yeah, I know, right?
You should also Chuck follow Woolery. James Woods.
Look oh, right goodness,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
It says it right there, right? Oh, right
yeah, yeah.
If you like this, you also you like that.
Yeah.
You like old dudes. Old dudes who want to put up giant gates.
So, and they're going to make it solar, too.
What happened to actor Peter Fonda? He's super conservative, too, now, isn't he?
I don't know that
urges
one.
Urges Democrats to commit voter fraud. Oh, the opposite.
No, I think it's the opposite, yeah.
He's a super, super Democrat.
Rosie, yeah.
Turns feud with Trump into activism. Bitter Rosie, all caps. Trump rallies aren't
Rosie.
Real. His supporters are paid. Blunt force truth.
Blunt force truth. Just look at you. Yeah, oh, look at that. That's some journalistic integrity from Chuck Woolery.
That's his whole thing, though. His whole thing is that now. I think he lives in Texas or something. I think he escaped California and all the crazy libs.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll be right back in 2 and 2.
Yeah, yeah, 2 and 2. Mm-hmm. I forget the name of that show. I remember I used to like it, the one on the Game Show Network. The one with all the boxes, and it was like letters and stuff. Fuck, I forget the name of it. What's that?
He hosted so many shows.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
I only remember The Love Connection.
He had like 10 maybe.
The Game Show Network, yeah, like when that like launched. Like, yeah, they're like, yeah, we can get Chuck Woolery. So why not?
Well, I'll go on if you let me talk about the damn libs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, you know, Trebek and you know was busy. Like, you know, he's already busy on his own thing. But we can get Woolery. You know,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How weird.
And what was the guy?
Scrabble or Lingo too?
Lingo. There
oh,
we go.
There
that's
is.
The show. Yeah. That,
look
yeah.
at him. Hey.
Hey, welcome back.
I've got a tie and cue cards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at that. Come on. What is it? It's an E.
Oh, look at that.
Look at those two dorks. I'm wearing sunglasses inside. I'm on TV.
So much judgment. look at those
it's
assholes.
Fun. It's fun. It's fun to do.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
fun to be judgy.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun. It's fun. I actually kind of need to pee. Is that
go
okay?
Ahead. Yeah, go pee, man.
All right, cool.
Don't worry about
Are
it.
Are we live?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
I'm going to go
just
pee,
go
guys.
Pee, dude. We'll talk some shit about Chuck Woolery while you're gone.
Yeah, go.
Chuck
go.
Woolery, naturally stoned.
Another game show.
Go vamp.
He did a show called Naturally Stoned? Yeah, come on. Get
actually,
the fuck out of here.
Naturally Stoned also.
He has a what?
He has a song.
A song called Naturally Stoned?
Yeah.
Oh. What is this? Naturally Stoned, an American reality television show that starred American game show host Chuck Woolery. 6 episodes aired in Game Show Network in 2003 between June 15th and July 27th. Series centered around Woolery and his family, specifically his personal life and his work as a host of Game Show Network's original game show Lingo. The show placed strain on both Woolery's workload and his marriage.
It says the series title is derived from his top 40 song from his band, The Avant-Garde.
What? He had a What the fuck? He had a band? Chuck Woolery had
American
a band?
American psychedelic pop group.
Get
1967.
The fuck.
I gotta play this.
Get the fuck out of here. You gotta find that song. a psychedelic pop group? Oh my goodness, Chuck. Naturally Stone. Psychedelics, but natural psych. He had a pop band.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, the song was Naturally Stoned. It was a it was like a Mamas and the Papas-esque kind of like 60s like kind of song.
I think he probably was trying to do it on the Natch though. Okay, yeah. Let's listen to some of this.
Oh,
here
yeah,
we go.
Yeah.
That's him right there. Naturally Stoned. Honey and Gall. Who's Honey?
Gotta pull this out of YouTube.
Yeah.
You gotta pull it off of YouTube, otherwise we'll get pulled. So the people listening on YouTube, you gotta go Google Avant-Garde Naturally Stoned. The people that are listening on Google Play and iTunes and all that shit, you can hear this.
Yeah, no, it's very like incense and peppermints kind of
it's
thing.
It's not terrible.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Okay, it just got terrible. Keep going. Oh, my God.
Sounds groovy, man.
Yeah.
Naturally stoned.
Oh, my God. Stoned. Naturally stoned.
And there's Chuck.
Wow, look at Chuck up front. Uh-huh. We'll be right back in 2 and 2.
Yeah, 2 and 2.
He's got wooden beads on. Is that wooden beads around his neck too?
Yeah, yeah.
They both do. They're like, look, guys, we got beads on. We're cool.
I feel like I'm at a party, like on Haight Ashbury or something like that. In the, you know,
I want to find
the late '60s.
The guy in the back with his hand on his hip. See what the fuck he's up to these days. Maybe he's the other guy.
That's Pat Sajak.
Pat Sajak. No, no. Honey and Gall. Like, what is that?
I think that's the name of the album.
Oh, that's the name of the album.
Oh, I don't know, actually. No, it's probably the B-side.
Elkin Bubba Fowler. Elkin's got a duck hunting show on the Sportsman's Channel now.
Who, this guy?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. What is he doing now?
There's a Leonard Cohen thing on there.
Leonard Cohen album or something.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. The Avant-Garde.
How strange. There yeah. he is.
I think Blunt Force Truth is a better name for a band than the Avant-Garde.
Yeah, it is, right?
Yeah, tonight at the Pit.
Blunt Force Truth. You don't want to know the truth, but I'm going to tell you. It's Blunt. Blunt Force. What a weird name for a show. Blunt Force Truth.
Spitting hot truth right in your face.
Spitting it.
Just spitting it.
Spitting hot fire that you don't want to hear. Oh, tough shit.
Hot fire.
Wake up, kids.
I always like that. I always love that line from Chappelle. It was like, oh, you know, I spit hot fire. And it's just like as if there's cold fire. Like, I'm spitting hot fire right in your ear.
Cold fusion. Mm. Yeah. That's so strange, that whole thing, that he was in a band.
Yep. The Avant-Garde, too. Gosh, that is so like of that era.
It's so funny when those old dudes get like real. Oh, look at that. Chuck Woolery from 1974. Look at that.
Check
hair.
Out the burns.
Very,
yeah, yeah.
Very Jay Leno-esque in that photo.
Yeah.
Look at him here. Give me some volume. Let me hear him sing. Here he goes. I lost that love before.
Oh, my gosh. I got mad and closed the door. I mean, yeah, he definitely has a nice voice. But
yeah, it's
like,
not a bad voice. Hmm.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've heard this song before. This is a cover. This is a cover. Exactly, yeah. You make me so very happy. Yeah, this is a cover. Okay, kill this before
yeah,
I die.
How do you go from the avant-garde to, like, yeah, like, hosting, like, you know,
well, because
the dating
this,
game or whatever?
Because this isn't good.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. But, I mean, that's a weird transition.
Well, he's a handsome guy, probably a good talker, and his agent was like, Chuck, I'm telling you, the music is not your thing.
Yeah, like you're hosting.
I'm going to give you the blunt force truth. You don't want to hear it, but I'm going to tell you. Game like, show host.
He's like, I like that phrase.
You got a look. You got a look, Chuck. The look is game show host.
You got it. You have it.
Listen, how about you being on the Game Show Network? Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, fella?
Does anyone actually ever like aspire to be a game show host?
Oh, for sure.
I know, like, you know. But like when you're a kid, you know what I mean? Like you want to be an astronaut or whatever.
There's got to be someone who like watches Price is
Zach,
Right.
Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell, he wanted to be a game show host.
But he's not a real person.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm just making conversation.
Right now there's some kid right now whose fucking dream you just shattered. Macaulay Culkin mocked my dream.
No, I was just
you piece of shit.
I was asking a question. It was a legit question. Like, you know, like, yeah, do people aspire to be game show hosts?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I know in the UK, like, host is a thing that people aspire to be. Like, that's, I got to ask somebody, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I host.
I'm like, a presenter.
What does that mean? Like, yeah, they're usually like a panelist on like a show.
Television presenter.
Yeah, presenter. Exactly. Yes. Like in a young.
Yes. Yes, a presenter.
That song actually gave them, that was so much of a hit that they were a one-hit wonder then, and he had to become a truck driver to supplement his income. He then signed on as a solo artist, had 5 more songs on his own.
Oh. Hmm.
Didn't obviously work out that well. Then he became the first host of Wheel of Fortune in 1975.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. What do you know?
Pat Stay Jack's been doing it since 1981.
I love
that's great. So how long did he do it for?
6 years,
He
six
did
years.
Wheel of Fortune for 6 years?
Jeez. What year did it start?
75.
Jeez, so it was a year after Christ. That, after that thing we just watched. So it was one year later.
6 years.
I hope he still had that hair, that mane of hair of his.
He still does, I think.
And those, and those
salt and pepper.
Yeah, those little like the sideburns, the mutton chops.
Old school ones go down to your jawbone.
Salary dispute is the reason why I wasn't hosted.
Ooh.
Fucked up, Chuck.
And then did it go straight to Sajak?
Imagine he fucking turns it on and still on the air. He's like, still, fucking still.
Damn it!
I could have been prison money by now. My agent's a piece of shit. That's the blunt force truth. You want to know the blunt force truth? I fucked up with my contract negotiations.
I have regrets. That's the truth.
Maybe he didn't want to do it anymore. Maybe that's what it was. Contract negotiations.
But then he went straight into like the dating game or whatever.
It's a better show. Get to see chicks.
I guess so.
They're trying to get laid.
Yeah, I guess so.
So what you got? You got chicks and dudes trying to get laid.
Yeah.
You're a facilitator, putting love together.
I mean, you know who got the most action was Richard Dawson. Family Feud.
Oh, yeah.
He always kissed every like lady
that's
on the lips.
That's true.
Even like the ones that were underage.
Did you ever see that movie with speaking of Richard Dawson, the guy who was in Hogan's Heroes with him? What was that fucking movie?
Oh, like
the movie
like
super, about that guy.
That's not Super 8 or whatever.
Something like that. 8mm.
It's one of those. It's not that.
8mm.
Yeah, yeah.
The movie where what was that guy's name?
I don't know.
He was the guy who was the star of Hogan's Heroes, and then he just became the freak of the week. He just became a
it was homemade
porn
all the time.
That's all he did.
That's all
make
he
home
did.
Porn.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they think the guy he did porn with killed him. I believe his murder was never solved, but there was some sort of extenuating circumstances that connected his porn buddy. The guy who was in the movie. I think maybe that was what they implied in the movie. I think that was what it was.
Well, if it was in a movie, it has to be true.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know it.
They don't ever lie, man.
True crime.
That's the thing about movies. When they do a story about your life, they don't change shit.
Fuck no.
They literally get every word right.
Yeah. Otherwise, they would lose credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's movies where they change shit. You're like, why did you change that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just decide to, like, historical things. Like,
they always
enough.
Say, like, oh, it's creative license, or, like, we have to condense things because a person's life is, like, you know, so long and things like that.
Do you remember that movie about the movie with – it was with – what's his name from The Office?
Carell?
Yeah, Steve Carell. He played
Foxcatcher.
Foxcatcher.
Yeah. We were both thinking the same thing. I was just waiting to get the description because I was going to say Foxcatcher, and he'd be like, no, not that.
That movie's based on two very famous wrestlers, Dave Schultz and Mark Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
And in the movie, they put a ton of bullshit in there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a lot of it. Mark was furious when the movie came out.
I remember reading that, yeah.
And, he went on a crazy, wild Twitter storm. But then after, the end of the movie, there's a historic moment in that movie that they just completely made up. Like, he fought this guy named Big Daddy Goodrich in the UFC. I mean, it's sports history in terms of the UFC.
That sounds like a WWE wrestler.
I know it does. Well, he could have been a WWE wrestler. But Big Daddy Goodrich, who's, really a pioneer in MMA fighting, was this big fucking jack black guy who wore a gi. He wore like a traditional karate gi into the octagon. In the movie, they have him fighting a white guy, a Russian guy.
Whitewashing.
They just decided, they don't want to see black guys.
Yeah, no.
They're going to put a white guy.
This is America. We have to fight the Russians.
I was like, why would you change the race and the name of the guy he fought?
Yeah, that just seems like weird and like petty almost.
No, you know what
it is?
It's
just weird.
It's just greasy producers who think they're smart. You've been around them. You know those fucks.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Tell me more.
Let me tell you. I'm going to give you the blunt force truth on greasy producers.
Right in your face. Spitting hot fire right in your ear.
Right in your face, you fucking libs. They just decide they're smarter than everybody and they know better. They mm-hmm. know how to change history and make it a better show.
Yeah. And like I said, well, you know, it was the 80s, so like, yes, it has to be against a Russian kind of thing.
It wasn't
like,
the 80s.
Well, I'm saying it takes place. Doesn't it take place? No, it takes place in the 90s. Never mind.
Yeah. It was, I think he fought in 1995 or something.
I know
like
Kurt
that.
Angle, like I know, trained in that facility, the Foxcatcher.
Yeah. Like, a lot of guys
he's
did.
Talked about that. You know, yeah.
How crazy that guy was, just decided to set up some wrestling thing so he could get like weird with these dudes.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted like a bunch of them. Strong, sweaty men like rubbing up against each other. I bet you those like wrestlers, like when they're training, I bet you whoever they're training with knows their body better than their wives. You know, it's a really intimate thing. I mean, I bet you they know every curve of of their trainee.
Hey, you're losing weight here, Tom?
Yeah, exactly.
When I cinch this grip around your waist, it just feels like a little easier now. I know it.
It is an intimate sport.
You're putting on some shoulder muscle, buddy.
Look at this
up here.
What, are you a little sore there? You know, sciatica flaring up?
Something's twitching in your buttocks. Yeah, remember when he was like in the movie? Steve Carell was so good in that movie.
I loved him in that, yeah.
God, he played that creep so well because he played it like a guy who's like a loose cannon. Like a creepy, weird
and,
loose cannon.
The small, like, you know, the way he kind of like his movements and his speech. Like it was good. It was good.
Remember when he was he decided he was going to coach? And mm-hmm. coach the wrestlers and show them how to do certain moves, mm-hmm. and everybody just sort of tolerated it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're kind of like, oh, just let him have this one.
So strange, mm-hmm. but what a great scene. But here's the thing, like, that scene was so good, but now I know you lied at the end. So I know you lied at the end of the movie, so now I go, well, did you make up that scene,
It
too?
Starts losing credibility. Yeah. I did watch a doc about that. I think there's a 30 for 30 about the Foxcatcher Institute or whatever it was.
Well, there was a lot of footage on that guy, and Carell fucking nailed it.
Yeah, yeah. DuPont.
That's John DuPont. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a strange guy that guy was.
Mm-hmm. Mr. DuPont.
That's an unfortunate thing about those wrestlers. Like, there's no real professional venue other than fighting if they want to go into MMA. Mm-hmm. And he was a coach at Brigham Young, Mark Schultz was, and he fought one time in the UFC and then just stayed. I don't think they wanted him doing it. I think that was part of the dispute, is that his coach, I believe it was Brigham Young, the school that he was coaching for was like, listen, you want to coach here. You can't be cage fighting.
Because especially like early like MMA was not respected at all. You know, I remember John McCain trying to like, you know, like it was a blood sport and he
kept
on.
Yeah, but you know what that was about? That was about Budweiser, because Budweiser sponsored boxing and MMA was doing very well with pay-per-view back then, and they wanted to stop it in its tracks, and Budweiser was a big part of that, and Budweiser sort of got behind him.
Yeah.
It's all greasy.
Yeah, I mean, the boxing world is so greasy, because I'm a fight fan. At least, like, boxing, I was kind of, like, always kind of raised that way. Like, I do follow it. I've only recently kind of gotten into, like, the MMA and kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I've gone to some shows. That, going to see any sporting event is always great live. Looking at,
do you go to live boxing matches, though?
I haven't in a while, but yeah. I used to go to, like, I saw Holyfield Moore one.
Did you really?
Yeah, I saw Holyfield Bow one.
Wow.
Like, things like that. Like, yeah, during that kind of peak, you know, like, that was that 90s era.
Oh, yeah.
Like, was, you know, did a lot of those. But
those were great.
But that stuff is so greasy. You know, I remember the first Holyfield Lewis, like that, how that ended in a draw, so they could, you know, double up their money and stuff.
I don't remember that fight. I don't remember Holyfield versus Lewis at all.
Yeah, they fought twice. Yeah.
Did Lewis win the first time?
No, draw. He won? Draw the
but
first.
Should
time.
He have won?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Lewis was a great like boxer, but at the same time, I just remember being driven nuts, like where he was like where his like belt. Like up to here, like it was like way past his belly button, and he's already like 6'6" already, and it's kind of just like like he's wearing that thing too high, like, you know, like he's getting away with murder, like, you know, kind of thing, like it should have, you know, I'm surprised he got away with that, you know, that equipment.
But most referees will tell you can hit him here.
Yeah, but you know, like I said, it was kind of just it felt like an unfair advantage, especially for a guy who was like. Like I said, 6'6".
Right.
Looking,
so, already enormous.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, so it's even higher than normal. And that would be a big target for somebody who's like only like, you know.
So
like
you follow boxing today, though?
Yeah. I'm really looking forward. I want to see Wilder versus Joshua. Like, that's what I want to see in the heavyweight division.
I don't think that's going to happen for a while.
Yeah. Tyson Fury, though, like, he's kind of back in the ring. Like,
Tyson
you know,
Fury might fuck them all up. That's a problem.
I know.
Because
They're all big guys, too.
They are big guys, but Tyson Fury looks fucking fantastic. There's some footage on his Instagram of him doing pad work. You know, mm-hmm. And he's fighting really soon.
He just fought like a warm-up, kind of like, you know, some journeyman.
But
kind
he's
of
got
thing.
A bout coming up. Tyson does.
I think it just happened. Like, or somebody, or does he have another one coming up?
I think
up?
He's I got. I'm pretty sure he's got another one.
I'm a big Deontay Wilder fan.
I am too.
Yeah, like it's just
he's a wild man.
Yeah, exactly. Unorthodox, and like, man, the way he fucking slugs, yeah. Like, Jesus Christ,
vicious,
like,
vicious power.
Oh yeah, I watched those highlight reels and just like, yeah, like I mean, it's give that guy a seizure. There mm-hmm. was that one where boom, the guy yeah. lands and he just like he's like a flopping around like a fish. Yeah. And it's like Jesus Christ,
he hits fucking hard
because he's well, like 6'7". He's a big dude.
He is long too, like crazy.
Yeah.
Leverage,
yeah, because he really snaps fight. His right, like yeah. You know, boom, yeah, the recent one,
yeah,
yeah, that
came
was
back from like was losing that fight and then stopped Ortiz.
I thought it showed like yeah, it showed that like he's got heart, mm-hmm. he's got a pretty okay chin, you know, like that he knows how to recover.
Who's your favorite fighter to watch
right
you
now?
Have one? Yeah.
Like I said, I really do love watching Wilder. Like right now, Triple G is good.
Yeah, I love he's, Triple G.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like yeah, like he's might be like an all timer kind of thing.
Yeah,
I just wish he kind of had
like,
more
look,
comp.
Look how good this guy looks. 6'9". Give me some volume on this so I can hear.
And
this.
He's thick too.
But he's like showing how slick he is because yeah. he's not just big. He's big and long. But here, see, it's so yeah, this
he
is coming
toyed,
up.
He toyed
Saturday
with Klitschko.
The 18th.
He toyed with Klitschko.
Yeah, man. Dude, he's fucking good. And he gives people fits.
Yeah, the new rumor is supposed to be Wilder versus Fury. Like, now the Joshua, like, talks of, like, you know, not happening.
Well, yeah. Tyson Fury could fuck up that whole thing, yeah. man. So it's the 18th of August.
And they're both a little, like, unorthodox, too. So it'd be actually interesting to see, like, him square off with Wilder.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. And they're both super long.
Yeah.
That would be very interesting. But I think
it'd probably be, like, the first time Wilder's fighting somebody who's bigger than him.
Not just bigger, but super slick. He's going to yeah. give him fits.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, look, Wilder can knock out anybody. But yeah. Tyson Fury, he'll give you fits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that guy's...
Because Wilder is, like, what? Like, 37-0 with 36 knockouts. He's only done the distance once. You know, yeah.
I know, mm-hmm. it's crazy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a crazy record.
Yep. It's Tyson-esque, like, young Tyson-esque, mm-hmm. but they're completely different fighters.
Yeah.
Young Tyson was just so tight and, like, you know, like... And Wilder's... He puts his hands down.
Yeah.
He wants to counterpunch. Like, you know, that's his whole thing.
You know what's interesting is people still don't believe in him. Like, I had heard that the yeah. Anthony Joshua fight, like, I would think that would be, like, a pretty evenly matched fight.
And they, people are like, no, like Joshua's heads, you know, yeah. like heads above everybody else. And it's like, you know, I'm not
maybe.
So sure. Like, you know,
well,
I mean, he's taking on some good challenges, though. I mean, like, Joshua can go. Like,
he's
you know,
amazing. Yeah. Look, don't get me wrong, but he got knocked down by Klitschko. Tyson Fury toured with Klitschko.
Yeah, putting his hands behind yeah. his back. You yeah. know, yeah, like that. Like, so, yeah.
And maybe it was not the same as prepared a Klitschko. You know, mm-hmm. fighters are different for every fight.
Yeah, and Klitschko's like, yeah, like aging, obviously.
Yes.
You know, at that point.
Yeah, but. I just think that style, that Tyson Fury style, avoid that shit like measles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get away.
Yeah. No, there's a reason why Joshua doesn't want to fight Wilder or Fury.
Yeah.
Because also, he is the top draw right now. Mm-hmm. Like, he can sell out, like, you know, like 40, 50,000 in his home country. Whereas, like, Wilder, like, in his home state, he fights a lot in Alabama. Like, it's like 10,000 or something like that.
Right.
Like, you know, so Joshua's a bigger draw.
Well, he's becoming, I think Wilder's becoming a bigger draw nationally
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah.
But I think that's also one of the things with boxing is, like, they're always trying to figure out, like, when do we make this fight? Do we
yeah.
make it now? Now, or do we wait a couple of months? Do
Love
we
to see like, yeah, two undefeated champions mm-hmm. fight each other. Like, that doesn't really happen that often, especially in the heavyweight division.
I
like,
know.
So it could be like something that's like really special.
Someone could fuck up and lose.
Yeah, exactly. Especially. Or it could be Mayweather Pacquiao all
yes.
over again, where it's like it happened, but it happened too late.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So stay the fuck away from Tyson Fury, kids.
What do you think about the McGregor Mayweather like fight?
It went. He did much better than I thought he was going to do.
Yeah, me too.
But I think that Mayweather was probably wanting to wear him out and so allowed him to but he did catch Mayweather with a very clean left
hand.
He
was rabbit punching the whole time. That was driving me insane. Mm-hmm. Just kept on just punching the back of his head. Like, I'm surprised the ref.
He was like hammer fist
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah. You can't do that. Like, you know, I'm surprised like the ref, like, let him get away with murder. But
I think
Mayweather
wanted to
fought a
frustrate
perfect
him. I think he wanted to frustrate
yeah.
Mayweather and get Mayweather to try
to
slug
open
with
up.
Him.
Yeah, because like Mayweather's defense is like super Fantastic. Tight. And like, no, he came in there, like, Mayweather fought a perfect kind of fight. He's like, just, I'm going to let this guy gas himself out. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he did.
Well, Conor's
Mayweather's
never...
not a knockout artist, but he knocked him out. You know,
well, he definitely stopped him. But Conor's not known for his cardio. He's a fast twitch guy.
Yeah. Like, I think it was when they opened up the books for that fight. It was 1,000-1 for McGregor to win by decision. I almost put a grand on that just anyway, just on principle.
Just to see. I know,
just,
right?
Like, just like, wow, I just won. I just
a
won
million dollars?
I just won $1 million. I mean, there's
so
a reason
crazy.
Why it was 1,000-1, but I kind of want to just sit there and like turn to my friends like, I think I just won $1 million.
Do you know how crazy that would be to win $1 million by putting down
like $1,000 bet?
Holy shit. There's been some crazy, but those bets are nuts. Like, will it make it out of the first round? Well,
yeah.
By decision. And they even have like disqualification bets.
Yeah. Like exactly. Like, you know, I used to play a lot of cards and I love prop bets. Just like, you know, like at, like in that moment, it's like, I bet you like I can guess within, you know, $100 how many chips are in front of you right now. Like, you know, like that kind of stuff. Or like, you know, or it's like, all right, like, give me a, 1 in 10 chance. You pull out a dollar bill from your pocket and whatever the last number is. Like, if I get it right, you know, you can pay me 10-1. Like, just like weird prop bets. Like people players like kind of go nuts with that kind of stuff.
Well, gambling junkies do, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look, I remember I was playing cards at this one club, and this guy just was sports betting like crazy. But now it's like, you know, like 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, and he's looking down. And he goes, "Does anyone know anything about cricket?" And like that was the only game that was going on. There was a cricket game in India, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna like late." I was like, "Dude, you actually have a problem. Like that's like, you know, yeah, like you have to like like that's a problem. You're betting on cricket. What are you doing, man? It's 2 in the morning. Anyone know anything about cricket?"
Well, that's the crazy thing about those sports books. You can look up and watch that shit.
Yeah.
You get like, here's a bunch of horses.
Yeah.
Who's gonna win?
I have a buddy who does like is into the races and stuff like that, and like he streams it from like all. It is kind of fun.
Horse
like,
racing?
Yeah. It's kind of like, but you kind of just randomly like, just like, sure, number 8. Like,
I knew a guy.
And then just like, you know, come on, 8.
I knew a guy who got banned for life from chariot races for trying to rig a race. Because he was, his horse was winning and his horse wasn't supposed to win. He's literally standing up, pulling back on the reins as his horse was winning.
It's like, just like, come on.
He's trying to slow him down.
Quit it.
Cut that shit.
Cut that shit off.
His name was George the Greek. That's what we used to call him.
Wow.
Guy from a pool hall in White Plains, New York.
Yeah, the Greek is like, yeah, because like, there was Jimmy the Greek back in the day. Yeah. You know, yeah.
Yeah, he was always trying to, like, he was
Do
always
you mind?
Telling us, what is that?
It's a little vape.
Oh, no, go ahead.
All right, cool. Thanks.
He was always telling us that he was going to win the lawsuit. I got Kunstler. Kunstler was his lawyer. I got Kunstler working on the case. I got this fucking thing. I got him locked down.
Yeah. Chariot racing. How do you get into chariot racing, too?
You gotta be an asshole.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you need like, you know, like, yeah, like if it's a sport, like, yeah, but like, how do you, like, do you like fall into, how do you fall into that line of work? Or again, like when you're a kid, you are going, when I grow up, I want to be a chariot racer.
Right.
Like,
maybe
you know,
watched
I don't know.
A lot of that movie with Kirk Douglas, didn't they chariot
Spartacus.
Race back then?
Yeah, exactly. Just like, yeah, imagining himself with like a bow and arrow in the back, you know, yeah.
Yeah, with those crazy wrist plates.
Mm-hmm.
Wear those big-ass bracelets.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Some greaves, you know, yeah.
That was a crazy movie because if you look at the difference between like Spartacus and 300, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You look at Spartacus, they had like normal bodies, like guys that just ate toast and didn't work out.
Back in like the Roman days, like I'd be considered tall. I'm 5'7". Like, you know, like a lot of those soldiers, like, you know, like in Spartans and a lot of Roman,
no food.
They were like 5'5".
Because they probably had no food.
Yeah. There was a lot of, you know, like just
malnutrition.
I was going to say malnutrition, but I was kind of like, it wasn't straight malnutrition. It just wasn't good nutrition, like kind of thing. A lot of like salt pork.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of thing. A lot of like weird flatbreads. You know, just not a lot of grain, not a lot of greens. You know, a lot of just grain and salted beef.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
It was probably really hard to get good food back then. Like as you're growing up, you probably were always malnourished, and no one was fat either, right? It's very rare that people were fat.
Yeah, people were rarely fat. Well, that's why it's like a fat lady like was considered like really really sexy because it showed that she was well fed. She's got some cash. Exactly.
This bitch is eating.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Look at her.
Yeah.
Look
that's why you see like. Curves. That's why it's like you see like the Aphrodite like and stuff like that. It's all very very curvy.
Looking, yeah. Like, yeah. They went through a whole era where those Rubenesque women.
Yeah.
Were
Rubenesque.
The,
yeah.
That was the thing. That's what everybody wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to get me a big gal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get me. Get me. Just, well, I can just squish
some cushion for the pushing.
Well, now we're in danger. Right now we're treading in dangerous waters. Even talking about that.
I know. Yeah.
Do you have
hashtag me too.
Kirk Douglas? Yeah, well, I was trying to find Kirk Douglas
I was
and Spartacus.
One that comparing them both.
Sporadicus.
Oh. Have it.
Sporadicus.
Sporadicus.
When you were in Paris, did you know this? Oh, there he is.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah, look at that.
That looks like a guy who's literally never swung a sword.
Yeah, he looks. He already looks
right
old.
There.
He already looks old there.
Oh yeah, he was. Well, I bet he was probably in his 30s. Because people back then just aged worse.
Yeah.
They just, I don't know what the fuck it was going on. They didn't age good.
It was the liquor and, the cigarettes.
Cigarettes and the liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you smoke cigarettes and you look fantastic.
Oh, thanks.
You look great.
I agree.
What is that?
Let's see how old he was.
Yeah, let's take a guess. Let's take a guess how old he was during Spartacus.
That was in like the early...
So 30, 40.
I think he was a hair under 40.
I think you're right. I would go with 37. What is he?
44.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. So he kind of looks like 44.
Yeah.
But not a today's 44.
Yeah.
Like Daniel Craig's jacked as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably like 44.
Mm-hmm.
How old's Daniel Craig right now? James Bond,
but doesn't he have like some like crow's feet or whatever?
Yeah,
like,
you know, but he's
a little. I know. Yeah, he's a thick dude.
What is he?
He's 50. So yeah,
50. 50.
Wow,
jacked.
Really?
Jacked.
He's 50.
That's
Daniel Craig,
right, motherfucker.
Oh, look at that,
looking good.
How old are you?
50.
Look at you. You're a big dude.
Look at that, jacked.
Mm-hmm. You're a big dude, but I can take you.
Whoa.
No, I'm serious.
That looks like fucking James Bond to me. Not all these other pussies. These are my all-time favorite James Bond far. That's a real James Bond.
Yeah, I know. I like his his steely resolve.
My other favorite James Bond is a potential James Bond. I don't know if he's a James Bond yet. Is Idris Elba?
Idris Elba. That's
because
exactly
he's jacked, and because white people are mad.
Yeah. It's like a Fantastic Four movie, and they got like Michael B. Jordan. It's like everyone just calm down.
Look at that right there. Oh, good lord! Look at his body.
Look at that.
Barf.
Look at that. That's what I mean. He's already kind of got a little he's got the beginning of man tits.
Yeah, I mean he's not bad.
That's better than my
he's
body.
Not fat. It's just he doesn't look like a guy who fought with a fucking sword for a living.
Yeah, but that's how they. That's probably closer, like more accurate to what you know what. Actual like Romans and you know
no,
like look like
not if they were actual gladiator. If they're an actual gladiator, they had to swing swords around. Look at that arm. Come on, son. That arm ain't carrying no swords.
Well, it's just lean muscle. It's lean muscle.
Yeah, it's wiry, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at that one.
He got some veins coming out.
Jacked.
There. Yeah, yeah.
Bro, he's jacked. But
This is Kubrick. People,
that was Kubrick?
People always forget. Yes.
Spartacus
was Kubrick. Confirm that. But yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, apparently he hated it too. Like you know, yeah.
He hated the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's probably one of those things he had to do.
Yeah,
damn,
there you go. There you go.
1960.
Yeah, jeez.
God, I loved his movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, this is actually one of the weaker ones. Really.
Did you ever read The Shining?
No.
It's really interesting.
It is different.
Stephen King did not like it.
Yeah, oh, the
he
movie.
He did not
the
movie.
Because they did the TV movie
yes.
like in the early 2000s.
With the guy
Stephen
from
Weber.
Wings.
Stephen Weber.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he just decided that, you know, like Kubrick had made Jack Nicholson crazy already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he didn't like that.
Yeah, yeah.
He wanted a guy that was turned crazy by the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But how the fuck are you going to do that in a two-hour movie?
Do you know what's not scary? Hedges. You know, there's a thing. It's like it probably like you know. I bet you if you read it or whatever, like it's probably seems creepy.
Mm.
Like when he's like talking about how the hedges are moving when he's not
right.
looking and stuff like that. But when you physically see it, it's
right.
not scary at all. You know what I mean? Like like it's just like things like that. Like just
that's
don't
a thing
don't
that
visually
works,
translate.
But it worked in the book. The book's amazing. The book's really it's a big ass book too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
oh it's Stephen King. I mean they're all you know yeah.
I think it's a big ass book.
Yeah, there's a
maybe I'm confusing it with a. the Dark Tower series.
There's also the Stand is really thick too. Yeah, maybe that's a dictionary. Yeah. Like it's a paperweight.
He was, still is, but so fucking prolific.
There's a thing with the mazes. Mm-hmm. It's like the mazes keeps on kind of like changing. Like the one that you see in the model there, and the one that exists, and there's also a map on the outside of it. All three of those are different.
Can you climb those bushes and get a look from the top?
I think it's like kind of more like stems. I don't think they're like thick branches.
So just hack your way through. Walk straight.
Yeah, that's true.
What are you, a pussy? Scared of bushes?
What are you, scared of a bush? Come on, bro. Come on. Well, the hedges that are moving, in the book. So,
they're monsters.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're, yeah.
They're demon hedges.
And it's kind of like, these like Edward Scissorhand-esque, it's a kitten. it's like, and then it's like, ooh, it's moving when you're not looking. And like, oh, that's an adorable cat hedge.
that place, that's supposed to be Estes Park? Is that what it's supposed to be? That area? It's supposed to be somewhere in Colorado that's like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where they filmed it, or at least the outdoor.
They filmed some of it, and I think they filmed some of it also in upstate New York.
And then they did like a studio. I think it was in London. Usually Kubrick worked out of London, but yeah, the Overlook Hotel. There we go.
Yes.
It actually is like it's not called the Overlook in real life, but yeah, it's in Colorado. Yeah.
That was a fucking great movie.
Yeah.
So creepy and weird.
Yeah,
he did so many of them. Remember Eyes Wide Shut? That was another one that was
That's his last movie. Yeah.
A lot of people didn't like that one. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, I'm a little soft on it, at least when it comes to it's still great,
right,
but I put it lower on my Kubrick list.
Right.
Clockwork Orange, 2001. I mean, you name it.
You know, during his spare time, he used to do complex mathematics.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Seems right.
It was like a legit genius.
Yeah. He has a archives in, I think it's in London, but there's actually the Stanley Kubrick library. And you actually can kind of go through his scripts and his notes and all that kind of stuff. There's a whole archive that's supposed to be kind of pretty neat.
Do you see yourself ever making movies, like producing or directing or
maybe.
Writing something?
If it's piques my fancy kind of thing.
Piques your fancy.
Yeah, if it piques my fancy. I'd be open to doing something like that, it's a matter of kind of the right kind of thing,
right.
And timing and so forth.
Right
now wouldn't be ideal, but a year from now, I probably might be a little freer, that kind of thing. Hopefully the company will be moving on its own by that kind of thing.
Here's something I wanted to ask you about Paris. This is one thing that I was only there for a short period of time, but one of the things I was shocked by is that all those people are eating bread. And they're all eating cheese and wine, and no one's fat.
Yep.
What the fuck is that?
Again, it's kind of the way that you kind of eat, how you kind of you have a light breakfast but a heavy dinner. I think that has to do with it. And also, you can't call yourself a boulangerie, like a bakery, unless you make everything from scratch. So everything's made from scratch. And the thing is that your baguette will be stale in 24 hours. Same thing with the croissants. There's no preservatives in anything. In general, all your food spoils faster, in your fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's fresh. There's no hormones and things or steroids.
He was an oncologist from Paris, and he lived in America, and he went back to France and brought back cheese because the cheese that he could get over there was not homogenized or pasteurized, and it's literally illegal here.
Yeah.
So he would have to tuck it in his carry-on or in his checked luggage and just hope that no one would check for cheese.
Check out that wheel of cheese.
Literally, he brought back a wheel of cheese.
Excuse me, sir.
And when he served it to us, it was like precious.
Yeah.
This precious cheese. I mean, they make raw cheese in America now, but this was...
But it's specific and you have to, boutique-y kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a very boutique, niche kind of thing. No, see the thing with their eggs, they don't refrigerate their eggs over there because it's done in a different kind of process. I forget what it is.
I have eggs that I get from my chickens. I don't refrigerate them.
Yeah, you're not supposed to.
I refrigerate them after a while.
Yeah, you can wash them, but I think in America, I think we hit them with super hot water. There's a different process than they have in Europe. So in general, you're not supposed to refrigerate your eggs there, where in the States you are supposed to. And it's just a different process of how things are done.
Yeah, the preservative thing makes a lot of sense. The preservatives, and I think there's also there's also different shit that's in wheat, and there's different kinds of wheat. They have heirloom wheat, mm-hmm. wheat that's like older wheat mm-hmm. before, you know, we started messing with it.
Yeah. And also their cattle and things like that, it's grass fed, whereas mm-hmm. in the States it's corn fed.
Right.
And also I just noticed, like, in general out there, like, I was eating less red meat. You have a lot more chicken and a lot of pig, lots of ham, mm-hmm. like, you know, that kind of thing. Ham is a very, like, you know, just whether it's dried or whatever, like, you know,
yeah,
you,
and those cured legs,
yeah,
when they just take that thin slice, yep, off the cured leg.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm actually going there, going back in a couple of days.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm
going to stay again.
You know, Wim probably not.
Fancy?
Because I'm going out to Berlin. I'm doing this thing. It's called the People Festival, like, out there. And so I'm going to do some, like, hang out with some friends. Like, I know, like, a good, like,
People Festival.
Yeah, it's called the People Festival. I mean, it's a music fest. And I know, like, a good, like, 12 or 20, like, of the acts. Like, and, like, they're, like, my friends and stuff. And
oh.
So I get to, like, go to Berlin, and I'm going to be, like, the roving reporter, pretty much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I found myself, you know, something to do when
for
I'm out there.
Years?
Like, yeah, it's going to be like podcasting and so forth.
Because
there's
okay.
a lot of like, yeah, like, there's a lot of like cool musicians doing it. So,
oh, that's cool.
So yeah, it's a so like I'm kind of like flying from LA to New York, spending the night because I hate taking like super long flights, and then New York to Paris.
You
spending
are
couple
a man
days
of
there.
Leisure. Look at
yeah,
you.
And then New York, then you know Paris to Berlin. You know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look at you. Even when you do that, you tilt your head sideways and yeah. throw your hand back.
Yes,
a man of leisure.
Uh-huh. Yes,
I travel at my whim.
I should have like a Manhattan in my hand. Like, ha-ha.
Oh, shall we book you a straight flight to Europe? No,
no, of course
no,
not.
That's too much time in the air.
I like to puddle jump.
I want to go to New York. I'll go to New York. Perhaps I'll shop.
Perhaps I'll shop in Paris.
Perhaps
in
I'll
Paris.
Go to a cafe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll take the Channel to London just for a day trip. Just
ooh.
For you know.
Just for a day trip.
Yes, I have a fantastic T-shirt shop that I love.
Now, one of the things that people were in America that don't go to Paris are worried about is like people hear horror stories about the immigration nightmare in Paris,
mm-hmm.
and that Paris is somehow or another turning into this criminal cesspool because of all these immigrants, and it's very dangerous there now, hence those shootings that you heard about in the...
You know, it is actually one of the most ethnically diverse cities in all of, like, Europe. Like, I was actually, like, you know you see more, like, black people in, like, the first 5 minutes of, you know, being there than you do in the whole of, like, Oslo or, like, Berlin or something like that.
Certainly Oslo, right?
Yeah, no, it is, like, kind of, it's culturally and ethnically, like, diverse. You know, when it comes to all those, like, shootings and things like that, they're guilty of being landlocked. You know, the UK can kind of control the you know, the flow of traffic, you know, of people kind of coming in and out because they're an island nation. Whereas, like, with the kind of open borders like that, you can buy a gun in Greece and take the train, you know, like, all the way over, like, you know, and especially when it comes, like, the old, like, the Balkans or whatever. Like, you know, there's a lot of leftover Soviet era, like, Kalashnikovs. That's why they always have, like, these Russian-made, like, guns and so forth. And, yeah, like, that's what I mean. If it's easier for somewhere like the UK to, like, lock off their borders or at least have, like, you know, whereas France, it's, like I said, it's guilty of being landlocked, essentially. You know,
so it's more difficult to secure. Is that the blunt force truth?
Yes, blunt force truth.
Mm-hmm.
BFT, bro. And that's the BFT.
Yeah, there you go. People should start using that.
The BFT?
That's the hashtag BFT, bitch.
BFT.
Got some BFT coming your way.
It's like, delicious.
But the big fear, like the one thing that people were terrified of, was that this was going to happen to the rest of Europe. That, like, what's happened to Paris, and Paris has fallen apart, and you can go through some of the ghetto areas in Paris, and, you know, there was someone filmed something where a Jewish man walked through these Muslim ghettos, and they were screaming at him all these anti-Semitic things.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I have not seen that, but, you know, my neighborhood's only a couple blocks away from, like, the Jewish kind of neighborhood, stuff like that.
It's a good spot to live.
Heck yeah, you
it's
can
It's always good to live near the Jewish folk.
Heck yeah.
They keep it together.
Yeah, I'm a New Yorker, so I'm, like, I'm already half Jewish, you know? Like,
well, I was in New York recently when we were in Brooklyn, and I was with Ari, my friend Ari, who grew up Orthodox Jew, and he took us through this neighborhood where they have like the crazy frisbee fur hats on, and all the curls.
Yeah, and the payas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the fucking the yarn hanging off their belt.
Yep,
all that
yep.
weird shit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was basically saying, like, these people, like, they are here, but they're not here. Like, they don't know what the fuck is going on. They have no idea who Kim Kardashian is.
Yeah.
They don't listen to any of the music. They all stick together. They intermarry. They marry inside their community.
I was just going to say get married young. And like, yeah. Like, yeah. You know, yep.
And it was so interesting seeing them all walk
around
the streets.
And they have sex through the sheets. You know that?
Some of them do, right? Isn't that Hasidic, though? Isn't that Hasidic Jews?
But, yeah, there's just a hole. Just throw a sheet over and just, you know, just... Perfectly frame the vagina right there, and I'll take care of it from here.
They don't want to touch naked women, right? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I think it's a modesty kind of thing, like a weird kind of like tradition. Kind of,
you should do that at home just for fun.
Yeah, it's like, honey, why are there holes in all the sheets? Hush,
Jesus just, wants this, or no, not Jesus, someone else. God, we killed Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, no, Romans.
Jesus was a Jew. It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
This community that we were driving through is massive. Like Brooklyn.
Yeah, I was going to say Brooklyn, like kind of in the southern kind of part. Yeah.
Massive community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know how big Brooklyn was.
It's big.
It's fucking huge.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're talking about the neighborhood, like kind of like north of Red Hook, but right there on the river. Because I walked from my place in like lower Manhattan all the way down to like Red Hook like one day, and I was
how
like,
how long did it take?
Like maybe about an hour-ish. But
that's
it. Yeah. I walk at a New York pace.
You must have been sprinting.
Yeah, I walk at a New York pace. I'm a walker. That's how I stay so slim.
If you run 7 miles an hour, that's like a fairly good clip. It's got to be more than 7 miles.
No, it's not. Like you have to understand the whole of Manhattan is I think it's like 14 miles something like that. It's 14 by 4, and I'm already living like in the southern part.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Like, yeah. It's probably I don't know, like about 3 miles? Yeah, about 3 miles. I walk at about 3 to 4 miles an hour.
One of the guys that was there with us, the guy who was driving us, was telling us how Brooklyn is just overwhelmed with building, construction, apartment buildings now, and everyone's moving out of Manhattan and into Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's because the thing about Manhattan is that it's finite.
Right.
Like, you know, so the only way, like, yeah, you can build upwards, but you can only do that so much. And so a lot of people were getting, like, displaced. Like, you have to have enough money just to stay on the island of Manhattan. And even people like that are getting displaced. Then, like, yeah, it's Brooklyn, Queens, et cetera, Hoboken.
The people that I know that live in Manhattan always have this thought in their head that one day they might live in L.A.
Yeah.
Like, even Bourdain was saying, sometimes I think about it. I think about the weather and... I know there's a lot of good things about LA, a lot of nice places.
LA, I lived here for the better part of 8 years, like in my early 20s and stuff. And it's it makes you soft. I mean, like it.
Does it?
Yeah, I think just like with the weather and things like that. And it's also like, yeah, that leisurely kind of thing. Like there's not a lot of drinking. It's a lot more smoking weed just because like everyone has to drive, you know, right. So nobody like, you know, so everyone just like. And it went by so fast because there's no seasons.
Right.
It's all the same. So like I blinked and it was like, wait, I've been living out here for 5 years. Like, you know, because I'm from New York. It's like we have like, you know.
Summer, winter, winter's long.
It's one of the few like major cities like where you have a 100-degree weather shift in 1 year. It can be 100 degrees and later that year it can be 0 degrees.
Yeah, that's true. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's kind of a harsh kind of climate a little bit. And the summers there like suck because it's just the humidity. It just sticks to you and it's smelly. Like, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of New York in the summer.
Yeah. It gets very piss-like.
Yes. You can just it sticks to your hair.
I've never lived in the city though. You know, and I might have missed my shot because, you know, now I'm married and with kids and the whole deal. And
I'm so sorry.
And a stand-up comedian. it's a lot of the only thing that could possibly make me live there is that like I could do stand-up there very easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of
comedy clubs.
There's
a lot of, like, yeah. Well, I think the island of Manhattan only has, like, 6 of them, technically.
What?
I think it's, like, 5 or 6.
6 what?
Comedy clubs.
I could name 5 or 6.
Yeah.
There's got to be more than that.
I don't know. Like, it's because I have a buddy
there's
who...
There's the Stand. The Cellar has 2 clubs. There's Dangerfields. There's Caroline's. There's,
Eastville Comedy Club.
There's got to be more than that.
I don't know. My buddy opened up one in like 2010.
Oh, there's Gotham. Like that. We're already at 7.
Yeah. He opened up one like in about like 2010 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about, he goes, actually, there's not a shit ton.
Did I say Caroline's?
You already said
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said that.
That's what I mean. He was actually, he said, like, yeah, he goes, when I opened up, there was only like six, you know, like he was like the seventh one or something like that.
Really?
He goes, it's surprising, at least on the island of Manhattan itself, there's not as many comedy clubs as you'd think. You know,
do you know,
even though it's a mecca, you know?
The turn of the century, the 19th to the 20th century, mm-hmm. there was 1,000 or close to 1,000 billiard halls in Manhattan.
Wow. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That's what men did before video games and.
Pretty much.
And that's like when men didn't want to have families. The bachelor mm-hmm. life, they would live in these pool halls.
I'm going to play billiards.
Yeah, they'd gamble.
Mm-hmm. In a smoky pool hall. Yeah, no, there's. I used to play a lot of pool.
Like that. Went back to the Lovitz voice.
Yeah, it's my,
Picasso.
I'm Picasso. yeah, there's actually not a lot of billiard clubs there anymore.
Yeah, there's a few.
I mean, I'm saying they do exist, but like, you know, there's like only a smattering of them. It's like bowling alleys. Like, there's only a few
bowling alleys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think even like Bowmore like moved, like kind of thing. Like, you know, that was a trendy spot.
There's going to be like croquet someday. It's all the bygone.
We'll play some badminton.
Yeah, forgotten era games.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Let's play some squash.
But are you enjoying it out here now?
Yeah, I mean, like, I have a good life out here.
Right.
Like I have like a really pretty little family. You know, mm-hmm. I got a pretty girl, pretty dog, pretty cat, and all that stuff. And
everything's good.
Yeah, we're gonna move. We're gonna like we're doing a house thing and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, you're gonna get a house together?
Yeah. Well, she is, and I'm just gonna
hitch a ride.
Yeah, I'm just gonna hitch a ride.
Nice. Like,
you know, yeah, more
Do
and
you
more
have
my
to chip in, or can you just ride?
No, it's on her. Like she was already looking, and so like yeah. So
nice.
I think she's in escrow like right now. Essentially, I think it just started like today.
But if it goes south, she could just fucking boot you
just
out.
Just get yep. Just looking.
What would you do?
I get
Paris?
My stuff. Yeah. I have my place in New York too. I bought like in like the 90s. So,
oh, okay.
You know, so
smart.
I'm doing okay. Yeah. But a proper loft. Like I said, I have Big syndrome. I saw the movie Big, and I'm like, that's what I want. So like an elevator opens up to like a big room, and like, you know, like I have more mannequins than like you would like think. Like we used to have an American Apparel downstairs, and I was walking like out one day, and there was just a pile of mannequin parts, and I was like, oh my god, look, I have to get these. Like, and it's like, and then I told my super, like, you know, because it's in the same kind of building complex. I said, listen, if they're ever gonna get rid of like any mannequin things, like tell them to come to me first.
What the fuck do you do with these mannequins?
They closed down, and like yeah, like I got like I have so many mannequins, it's ridiculous. Just these mannequin parts, I have no idea what to do with them. Either I give them away like as like presents, like here's a leg, you know.
Well, you were talking about all the different little cars that you bought.
Yeah, a bunch of like yeah. Every time I go to the pharmacy, I have to buy a toy car, and now it's like, but I try not to double up on things, so it's like only one ambulance, you know, only one fire truck, you know, yeah,
only one Corvette.
Yeah, no, and it's like now it's getting ridiculous. But I, for some reason, like I hoard things and I collect things, like, you know, and at the same time, like, I'll figure out what this is for, kind of thing. Like, you know, I'll do something with those mannequins at some point. Something like those are going to pay off, I swear.
That's the kind of shit that drives women crazy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say, invest in mannequins. It's a growth industry. There's a high ceiling on mannequins. I'm telling you, kids.
You think that's a freedom thing where you can do whatever you want? So you're like, fuck it, I'm just going to buy a mannequin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and then when they closed down, it was like, yeah, I got like 20 mannequins.
Did you get them for free or did you have to buy them?
No, so they were going to like sell them, and it was something like, there was like, oh, we have like 16 of them. We'll sell them to you for $500. And I said, listen, I said, I could do that, or I could pay you, you know, or I can give you $400, I can give you $200 for them, and then give you $200. Because the place is closing down. So, you know, the store gets the $200, but then there's another $200 in your pocket kind of thing. Because the store is closing down anyway.
Look at you, you bargainer.
So like, well, because they're not going to, like, they don't have a job starting next week. So, like, they really don't care. So, like, yeah, so I got him for cheaper, like, just by pretty much bribing the dude.
You should have offered him a drawing.
I know.
A little sketch.
I'm Picasso.
Look at that, fella.
In your face.
Well, listen, man, it was great meeting you.
Yeah, it's great meeting you, too. I had a good time.
This is really fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
And you're an interesting guy, man.
Oh, thanks.
You're very healthy for a guy who's gotten through what you've gotten through.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't too traumatic. You know.
You did it. You
yeah,
nailed it.
I did it. Yay.
One more time, your website for people.
It's bunnyears.com.
And the podcast?
It's a Bunny Ears Pod. You can get it again anywhere podcasts are done, you know, so like whatever the iTunes or whatever. All those things.
People can find. They're listening to this. They know where to get a podcast.
Yeah. My podcasting partner takes care of that.
Beautiful.
You know, yeah. And that's, you know, like, go check out our website. Go check our, you know, Facebook. Yada yada yada.
And say hi to you at the Human Fest.
Yeah, People Fest. Festival in Berlin. Yeah, right. I'm gonna be
beautiful.
There.
Beautiful. All right, thanks, man.
Thanks a lot, my friend.